radio station.
And boom! Why should anybody aspire to be a common man, an average man? Do you realize what it means to be average? That means you're the best of the lousiest. And the lousiest of the best. Now, if we demand more and more for producing less and less, while the have-not nations encourage and inspire and indeed require hard work and maximum effort, if we deify the common men while they encourage and reward the uncommon ones, well, the end result of such a lopsided race as that is too obvious to require elaboration.
I mean, it's like, hello?
We'll head to Buffalo. Stay on the road. I think the weather, of course, having spent a lot of time in Minnesota, I understand the weather pattern. Pick up the Calcutta Clipper, swings down, swings up, lakefront influence, and out. I think we'll probably have about 45 degree weather, so it will not be a typical October 31st in Buffalo. Well, I read the USA Today, and I read the New York Times, and I read those both every day, and I listen to music. It wouldn't do me any good to listen to talk shows, because what's great about America, everybody has an opinion, you know what I mean? But what's also great about America, you don't have to listen to them, and that's the great part.
When the ship is out to sea and the color man is on board, you better get on board. Don't be there crying and whining. Get him and keep him. Give him the raise that he deserves.
No, I didn't like the way we were playing in SAC, so I just told him, hey, you're going to live and die with me. Y'all, don't nobody like it. Sit your ass down right here. Don't come out here, but we coming through me. You know, that's why I like Sam to come in. You know, I let them do their things for three quarters, come fourth quarter, bring it to the ticket.
I'm pulling my tickets!
Mark, they can't pitch. They can't pitch. What is with? I mean, come on.
He's the clown from Brown. He's the fourth in the north. This is the common man, Dan Cole.
Look, no silly ack-ack-a-dack and cold dead rigor mortis laid and that BS. Because it's a FedEx Friday. And on a FedEx Friday, it's a truncated common man program to the extent of, you know, our normal meandering we do from 1 until 2 till Rosen gets here. It doesn't work that way. Feminine touch at 1. Program password at 1:30, and we've got a lot of ground to cover today, me boy. So this is going to be a fast-paced FedEx Friday. So if you generally, when you're listening to the program, you do other things like, well, you watch paint dry, you might sort your socks, you might order up that boiling hot vat of asphalt, you might try to catch a little shut-eye. Pay attention. Abandon all those extracurricular activities and pay attention to the Common Man program. We have so much to get to today. The Twins collapsed again once we left the airwaves. We have a brand new segment to introduce, and it features and focuses on our enemies to the east, and it's going to be so delicious. We might bring back another bit. The run for 100 now seems like it may be in.
We're coming.
That it may be It may be in our eyesight, right around the corner, is what I'm trying to say. And then, of course, we have the Twins and the Wild and so much else. So why don't we spin Wheel of Topic? Because I just don't know where to start. I guess you want to start with Wild again. I kind of like our new segment.
I kind of like talking about Rogers.
Yeah.
Commons Golf Game.
Well, there's that.
What did you shoot today?
128.
Well, where'd we play?
Well, Loggers Trail. I played 27.
Okay, I was going to say.
I played.
Where'd we play?
Loggers Trail.
Where'd you hit it on one?
Right up the gut.
How far from the green were you?
I had a 8-iron in my hand.
Second shot?
I knocked it onto the green.
Right or left?
Right of the pin.
Then what?
I two-putted for par.
Incredible.
I shot 43 on the front, and I tripled number 7. You know, 7, the very narrow, great hole. Too bad you got to walk down a single file. I always hit driver there. And I hooked it into the trees. After going, par, bogey, bogey. Bogey, bogey, par. So I was 4 over through 6, and then I snapped it over there and made a 7. And I decided to simplify the game at that point. As I was going from 7 to 8, it's quite the trek. You know, as you know, you got to go over the wooden bridge, right? And I decided I was going to narrow it down to just one swing thought. And it worked. Because at that point, I parred 8 and 9, and then I shot a 38 on the back. And what do you think one swing thought was, Tenneby? This simple. Don't play like Tenneby. That's what I kept saying to myself. I'd stand over a shop and say, don't play like Tenneby. And the next thing you know, I was hitting knockdown, punch, cut, fade, draws.
So the key for me next time I golf is, as I'm standing there, don't play like you normally do.
Yes, that's it. Yeah, just say, don't play like you normally do. Close circuit to the twosome that was right behind me. I ran into them again on the course, and I told them I was going to do this bit, that my swing thought was, don't play like Tenneby. He said, I'll make sure to listen for that.
Brilliant!
And so that's what... So that's the only reason I did Commons Golf Game today, just to do that cheap shot. At your expense. Why am I like that?
That's okay.
What was I going to say? Oh, we have a new bit. Did you listen to the Open yet?
I haven't listened to it. I haven't, though.
I haven't. So let's listen to the Open, and let's see if Imaging Guide, let's see what it sounds like. This is a new bit.
Mayday, mayday, mayday. Mayday, mayday, mayday. Time now for another edition of Mayday in Green Bay. An inside esoteric analysis of the Aaron Rodgers crisis in Titletown, USA.
Oh, I like it. I would have slowed the Mayday down a little bit. I would have went, Mayday, Mayday, Mayday. But otherwise, and I didn't explain. That's really good. Can you play that again?
Sure.
Well, I like that.
Mayday, Mayday, Mayday. Mayday, Mayday, Mayday. Time now for another edition of Mayday in Green Bay. An inside esoteric analysis of the Aaron Rodgers crisis in Titletown, USA.
Now, everybody realize we're not talking about the first day of May, Mayday. Mayday, I think it comes from the armed services. Anytime there was an emergency going on, right? You know, anytime there was an attack like at Pearl Harbor, it's Mayday, 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 if I'm not mistaken. I hope I got that right, even if I don't. You know what I wanted to name it? I wanted to call it Drama in the Bahama, because I like the rhyme, but they don't play in the Bahamas.
Brilliant!
Right? Then I wanted to do, what was it? I wanted to do, the Brian Balaga Drama, but it has nothing to do with Brian Balaga.
No.
Right now. So I couldn't do that either. So then I was trying to come up with, and I thought Mayday in Green Bay was perfect, because it is an emergency in Green Bay right now. And every day there's a new twist. This will be that story where every single day there will be a new twist. When you have one of the premier, one of the best National Football League players to come down the pike, but quarterbacks in recent vintage, right? I mean, he's as good as it gets, right? You know, he's in that handful, that pantheon of players over the past 10, 12, 15 years has been one of the best quarterbacks in the league. He's a two or three time MVP, just won the MVP last year. And when he is unhappy in Whoville, that makes everyone in Green Bay, I think they're panic stricken, I think is what they are. And so it's a Mayday. It's an emergency there. Mayday, 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 Mayday. The Mayday in Green Bay.
SOS.
SOS. Would you agree? What would be the equivalent here in Minnesota? Would there really be one? Is there any one player that has accomplished as much as Rodgers has in this town? There really isn't.
No.
I mean, because we think of Big Meow, maybe Ant now, but they've not accomplished it. You know, Dollar Bill, Kirill, but it's still...
Currently, no. I would say Kirby Puckett was on that level.
I guess, yeah, Puckett. when he had the eye issue. That was awful. You know, that was not disgruntlement over a contract or just starting to lose your ability to play baseball. But he woke up and what he was blind in one eye. Just woke up one morning and he had an issue. And but yeah, that would be the closest, right? I can't think. Is there any other player in this town that's ever? I can't think in any sport, right?
I'm trying to think of like a big name that's had issues with ownership, but it's been well past his career. Would be Kevin Garnett,
right? Yes,
right. Where he's removed from the situation, but there's still a divide there.
And he would be the closest, you know, I guess Puckett, Garnett would be the two guys that would create that sort of, because it did when Garnett was traded, there were people that were weeping and gnashing their teeth and bitter. And I think everyone realized, well, it just had to be that way. It wasn't going to work here anymore. And after a while, it's like, you know, the most recent example would be with Stafford. The Lions finally saying, you know, you've been a... been a great player for us, and we've kind of let you down by not really providing enough oomph around you. And so, yep, we're going to let you go. Go ahead. We'll figure it out from here. And we'll let you try to win somewhere else. And that's kind of what happened with Garnett, right? It was basically, it's time to let you. Sorry about that. It's time to see if you can flourish and maybe win that title elsewhere. And what happened? It worked. It ended up working for him. So
then we also had a big name, but you know, he was kind of past his prime at that point too. It'd be Randy Moss on his second stint.
That's a very good point. Yep.
He wouldn't feed his dog.
Yeah.
Certain food.
Yeah, from Tanucci's.
Childress just let him go.
And Tanucci's food's terrific. I've had Tanucci's.
I don't think I've ever had it.
Oh, it's terrific. It's great food. But yeah.
Is it better than Skyline Chili?
Yes. And then, if you'll remember also, there was the Moss incident on the bus. Remember when he got on the bus and there were sponsors, you know, people that spent money, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? You know, partners, you know, money, people that are, you know, giving the team money. And, he basically was, basically, if I'm get, you're in my seat, get out of my chair, in the bus. He wanted to be in the front of the bus. So it's like, yeah, and then with the water bottles, the whole thing for there. But so we will, I look forward to it.
I love May Day in Green Bay.
May Day in Green Bay, because there is another development, and there will be a development every day. I saw another one, so we'll get to that eventually as well. Tanner B's got a keyword for us, trying to put a grand in your hand.
Yeah, time for the National Cash Contest. Go to KFAN.com right now and enter the keyword trip for your shot to win. KFAN.com, keyword trip for a shot at $1,000.
Hey, the Common Man here for Pent Air Water Solutions. You've heard me talk about hard water. You probably know you have hard water if you have hard water stains on your countertops, maybe on your appliances, your shower glass. Hard water plagues homes all over the metro area. They give scores for hard water, and 7 is considered to be hard water. A recent test in Medina showed a hard water level of 26.1. Apple Valley, 21.4. Get this for Brooklyn Park, 37.6. As I mentioned, your countertops, appliances, shower glass, clothes, skin, and hair take a beating from hard water. And we haven't even started discussing the possibility of high chlorine levels in your water. How about water from a well? Do you get your water from a well? Does it taste or smell bad? Could it contain bacteria, iron, or worse? Find out what's in your water and then what you can do to improve the quality of your water with a free, accurate, and trustworthy Pentair digital water test. The Pentair pros will discover what's in your water, and with their mobile showroom, they'll show you a wide range of options for improving your water's quality. Call for the free digital Pentair water test today, 612-509-6878, 612-509-6878, or online at pentair.com.
AFAN Plus.
As I write this letter, send my love to you. Remember that I'll always be in love with you. Treasure these few words till we're together. Keep all my love forever. P.S. I love you. You.
Well, now, Tennessee, here's the deal. I kind of slapped together the idea of May Day in Green Bay this morning. It dawned on me while I was out playing golf. I do my best work while I'm golfing. That's where I do my show prep. How about This might even be better. The Lambeau Imbroglio. The Lambeau Imbroglio.
That's not bad.
Look up the word Imbroglio. I think that's how it's pronounced, Imbroglio. The Lambeau Imbroglio. And while you look that up, we accept emails, booth@kfan.com, courtesy of the Bradshaw.
Imbroglio.
Imbroglio.
Oh, Imbroglio. I didn't know it was pronounced that way.
Imbroglio.
Imbroglio.
Imbroglio and Lambeau. Yeah, that's good, but now I'd have to have Diego do it all over again. Well, we'll think about it. We'll just see. But here's what it is, Tim.
I think May Day, kind of with the sound effects in the background, is kind of a better bit anyway.
Yes, I think you're right. Todd emails me this. May Day got its start as an international distress call in 1923. It was made official in 1948. It was the idea of Frederick Mockford, who was a senior radio officer at Croydon Airport in London, England. He came up with the idea for May Day because it sounded like the French word Mater, which means help me. Help, I need somebody, help, not just anybody, help. So that's how May Day got started, as the international distress call. And do you think, is there anything more appropriate right now than an international distress call in Green Bay? I know I'd be distressed if I was a Packers fan. Here's the difference between a Packers fan and a Kitties fan. We let our quarterback go sympathetically. We're sympathetic to his issues. You know, it's like, this is a terrible team in a terrible city with terrible fans in a terrible stadium. It's been so terrible. You've actually played pretty well. You've gone above and beyond the call of duty. We want you to leave. We're gonna trade you to a really good football team so you have a chance to win a Super Bowl. We're in Green Bay. They're doing everything they can to keep him.
Yeah.
That's the difference between the franchises, which you could say is sad, really. Now, I got to get this one here. Hold on, Tenebee. You'll like this. Well, maybe you won't like this. Here it is.
More shots in my golf game?
Well, yeah. I'm listening. Common, I am listening. This was one of the golfers that was trailing me on the golf course.
Yeah.
I am listening, and I loved your swing shot thought. Improve my game dramatically on the back nine. Don't play like Tenebee. So he Brilliant. Thought the same thing when he got to the back. And it worked for him.
Brilliant.
Don't play. I wish it would rhyme better. How about don't be like Tenebee? That would work. But it worked for him. So just so you know. Do we still have the run for 100 open? We must have it. So I should have alerted you. I wanted to do that now. I'm sorry.
Guarantee
that.
We have it as long as it didn't get.
Unless it was a.
Removed.
Removed. It was very simple. It was just the run for 100. It wasn't not a lot of bells and whistles. Really not a lot of thought put into it, because there's not a lot of thought put into the program at all, except when it comes to lunch.
Well, I thought we had two different versions of it. This one's...
Here we go again. It's time for another installment of the run for 100.
Well, that works. Yeah, that works. What is our record as we speak today? Is it 11-18?
I think
our record is 11-18. We blew it again yesterday. It was astonishing. Big Mike was pitching pretty well. He had, you know, gave up two earned runs over six innings, 87 pitches. We decided we needed
11-19.
11-19. Oh, we've lost 19.
Yeah.
So this should make our math a little bit easier. Is that 30 games then?
Yes.
So what are we on pace for right now? Are you able to do that?
Well, yeah, let's get the winning percentage first.
Okay. You do that while I get my salad ready.
So 11 divided by 30. 11. So our winning percentage is basically 36.666 repeating.
Okay.
So then if we just multiply by 162, we're on pace for 59.4 wins.
Which would give us over 100 losses, right?
Yes.
So we're on pace for about 102.6. Think about that. So, and again, I want people to understand, if you're a newer listener to the program, I'm an acquired taste. You're probably another one of those that say, why does this guy have a job? I get this from people a lot when I run to them. You know, I was one of those, and I know what they mean when they say, I was one of those. I hated your show when I first listened to it, but it kind of grew on me, almost like acne. Or a carbuncle. And
a what?
A carbuncle.
I don't know what a carbuncle is.
Look that up. You don't take a look. You don't want to know anything about a carbuncle. So if you, I would prefer the team, you know, going into the season, you know, we were as
quack, quack.
Ducky and Bunny as the next person. All we wanted to do was, you know, parade route is what we had planned. And high hopes. And you've seen what's happened since then. The team has found numerous ways to lose. Almost, as a matter of fact, here's another bit that somebody came up with. Tell me if you like the idea of this one, Jenny. Let me see if I can find it here. It says, Common, I have a new game for the Grum. It's similar to the Brad Radke home run contest, albeit not as difficult to conquer. Because the Brad Radke home run contest was the hardest thing to do, though I mastered it like
you
the first
it.
Or second time. And for those that don't remember what that is, we would predict when Brad, because he had a penchant for giving up first inning home runs. I think he gave up more first inning home runs than any Twins pitcher in history, maybe in major league history. And so we would predict who would hit the first inning home run, how many men on base, and then the tiebreaker was at what time of the day. I predicted Troy Gloss, two-run home run, first inning at 6:20, and it was like 6:19. I mean, he hit a two-run homer.
Mm-hmm.
He says, the game is based on predicting how the Twins will lose. I've narrowed it down to four ways that the Twins always seem to lose. The options are, A, the offense lets us down by scoring two or less runs. B, the bullpen blows it. C, defensive blunders. D, the game extending into extra innings, which, of course, we will lose. He says, if you can use this material on the Grum, great. If not, that's cool. Keep up the mediocre work, me boy. So, yesterday was D. We lost in extra innings. And that's another... So, again, let me back up a little bit. So, we would rather that the Twins were 19-11. You know, leading the division, starting to plot out our strategies for our pitching rotation in the first round of the playoffs. And, again, I'd rather we lose... Well, no, because now that we broke the record, we don't need to lose any more postseason games. Like last year, as sad as this might be, because we like historically good or biblically bad, we were rooting against the Twins in the first game of the playoffs because we wanted them to set the new record for most consecutive postseason losses by any of the four major North American sports teams. And we set that record last year. Not only did we get to 17 to top the Blackhawks, but then we lost another one. So 18, we hold the record, so there's no need to go any further. But we were hoping for a division title and a deep run in the playoffs. But now that seems out of the question. So let's go from historically good to biblically bad. So that's why we're rooting for the run for 100, lose 100 games. The other thing we need, and I looked it up, Tennaby, and I can't find a stat for it. And this is disappointing because in Major League Baseball, there's usually a statistic for everything, right? And that is most consecutive extra inning losses for a team and most in a season. Now, there was some record about just the most extra inning games in a season. I think like the Boston Red Sox in like 1943 or something had like 31 extra inning games. But I can't find, and maybe somebody can help me here, because we were doing it with the Wolves or the Wild with the power play.
Mm-hmm.
We wanted, in a perfect world for us, was the Wild clinch a playoff spot, maybe even win the division, but set the record for futility for the worst power play percentage in the history of the game, because that's what they were trending towards. You can have both. You can enjoy both. So if somebody can find out what are the most two records that I got to think the Twins are in the running for, most consecutive extra inning losses, we're now 0-7, and then what are the most extra inning losses in Major League Baseball history for a team in any one season? So we'd like to know those. So there's a lot of things to track here. This whole show has a lot of moving parts. Mayday in Green Bay, which we're going to get to next on the other side of the break. Plus, there's another story. My favorite football coach of all time has just been given a brand new job at a level he goes from high school coach to college coach. And I'll explain that as well on the other side of the break. It's the Common Man program on the Fan.
Yeah, tune into the Common Man program every Friday afternoon. That's today for your chance to win a $50 Casey's General Store gift card during the program password with a little B. Use the hashtag program password on Twitter for your chance to win.
Now I find a gentleman and open up the doors. Help me if you can, I'm feeling
FAN.
It's the Amana Heating and Air Conditioning Weather Forecast from Common Man World Headquarters, 1600 Utica Avenue South. I'm the Common Man, Dan Cole, spinning hot stacks of wax from the top of the racks right here on the Fan. Partly cloudy today, high of 60 tomorrow. We should have partly cloudy skies, light rain scattered throughout the metro tomorrow. Mercury should play tag with 58. Right now it's 54 degrees, 1976. Jay Ferguson, Thunder Island, on your home for the SFM 100 thing. The Fan. La, 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 my lady. In the sun with your hair undone. Did you find out what a carbuncle was, Tenneby?
Where carbuncle was?
No, what a carbuncle was. Remember I said you might grow a carbuncle, and then you said, what's a carbuncle?
Carbuncle.
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 A painful circumcised inflammation of the subcutaneous tissue.
Okay.
Resulting in suppuration and sloughing, and having a tendency to spread somewhat like a boil, but more serious in its effects.
It doesn't sound pleasant, does it? I don't know why I brought it up, but I did.
You have experience with a carbuncle?
No, or? I don't. Yeah. But I do have experience with our next bit. It's our brand new bit that we're unveiling today. It's the debut, and here it is. Sorry about that.
Mayday, mayday, mayday. Mayday, mayday, mayday. Time now for another edition of May Day in Green Bay. An inside esoteric analysis of the Aaron Rodgers crisis in Titletown, USA.
Someone suggested May Day at One Twins Way.
Well, there's that.
So maybe could we get Diego to do that? We'll just call every issue, as long as there's a rhyme there, May Day at One Twins Way. This is a SI.com story. Headline. Broncos insider floats much less daunting Aaron Rodgers trade package. See, we're already thinking way ahead. It's not if, it's when. He's donezo. He's gone. He does not want to be in Titletown, USA any longer. And so we know that the speculation is that the Broncos are the front runners for Aaron Rodgers. Chad Jensen writes, is the cost for Aaron Rodgers if the Packers trade him going to be less than initially projected? Says Broncos are in a prime position to land veteran quarterback Aaron Rodgers via trade if the Green Bay Packers are at some point opt to relent. For now, the Packers are stubbornly holding true to their position that Rodgers isn't available via a trade. Meanwhile, Broncos GM George Patton continues to consolidate his position in the event Green Bay suddenly acquiesces to demands of the NFL's reigning MVP. ESPN has reported the Broncos are poised to, quote, put the most in front of the Packers if Rodgers gets dealt. What do you think a trade would look like for Aaron Rodgers, Tenneby? Immediately, remember the speculation? What was the trade that was done?
Stafford.
Stafford was what? Two firsts, or was it three? I'm talking about the trade that was done in the draft to move
from
up.
From San Francisco to go up from 12 to 3.
Yeah, and what was that?
It's three firsts and a third.
That's pretty pricey. So what would you think would be
for... Now, That's for a 21-year-old quarterback, whereas Rodgers is, 37?
But Rodgers is a proven...
100%. But you also know it's a short window.
This is true.
I mean, I would still think it's, two first-rounders plus, other picks or players.
Well, here's what Denver 7's Broncos insider...
Denver 7!
Broncos insider. Troy Rank recently floated a trade package for Rodgers based on what he's heard around the league that would be far, far less daunting than CBS Sports' wild projection of three first-rounders, 2 seconds, and a cornerstone player. Here's what he writes. From talking to industry sources, it would look something like this. First-round picks in 2022 and 2023, a second-rounder one of those years, and a promising young player or players, ESPN proposed the who's the guy they just drafted? Surtain?
Yeah.
Patrick Surtain the second? Tim Patrick. ESPN proposed Surtain and Tim Patrick.
Tim Patrick? Oh, thanks.
Who is he?
He's third string wide receiver.
Well, I guess you throw in something, right?
Yeah.
Here's it's difficult to ascertain what would be realistic and one wouldn't, because again, who really has the upper hand here? I guess Rodgers, by all accounts, I mean, if you look at it from his point of view, if he really is hell-bent on not playing for Green Bay, even if they say we're not going to trade you, he could still say, I am sitting out then. It's hard to envision him doing that, but he could, right?
Yeah.
So really, he does have the wild card in this whole thing. He could sit out. So if Green Bay does...
He's got the hammer.
Right, he's got the hammer. So if Green Bay does feel like, well, this isn't going to work, he said, I have no interest in playing. We're not going to call his bluff. We're going to go ahead and trade him. They're going to try to get the most they can, but then... If the other teams that might be interested know you have to trade them, they might not have to offer as much. Let's just say that this Broncos insider from Denver 777. Let's say he's right. First round picks in 2022, 2023, a second rounder one of those years, and Tim Patrick and Patrick Surtain the second.
Yeah.
Green Bay may be in no position other than to accept that, but do you think that's fair compensation for a...
I think it's very fair.
Yeah. Is that a two?
Because Surtain is basically a first-round pick. I mean, right. A top-10 pick, so it's three first-rounders, a second-rounder, and you could potentially lose him for nothing. I mean, Rodgers could retire and go host Jeopardy.
Correct.
And you got to, you know... And you have... What was your backup plan in place to begin with anyways to be able to transition from Rodgers to the next guy? So it's not like you'd have to go a year or two without an option at the quarterback position. And how are we ever going to fill this spot? You know, it's not like you're going with an Andy Dalton type situation or one of those kind of guys, right? Like you've got your heir apparent in waiting already there. So yeah, if you get an offer like that and he doesn't want to be there, to me, that's a no-brain. We call that an auto accept. You just automatically hit the accept button.
I would sit auto accept on that as well. And in a perfect world, if you are the Packers organization or a Packer fan or a Packer player, and you know you were one step away last year, you were one Aaron Rodgers decision. He made a bad decision. We all know that. He should have ran on that third down play. One bad Aaron Rodgers decision away from maybe getting to the big game last year and maybe winning it. You know, if Green Bay pulls that game, who did Tampa Bay beat now?
Kansas City.
Well, that might be. I was going to say, do you think Green Bay would have beat Kansas City? That's a tough one. I don't. Well, as bad as that offensive line was for Kansas City, Green Bay may have won. They could very well have won it.
Yeah.
So a lot of people are thinking, you know, let's, you know, unfinished business, right? But that's a pretty good haul. And then I think a lot of it depends on how good can Jordan Love be. You know, the Packers thought highly enough of him that they traded up into the first round last year to draft him as their quarterback of the future. Now, it doesn't mean he's certain to be a great player, but you would have two first-round picks in the next two drafts. You'd have Surtain, another player, a second round or a third, whatever that was, and then you would also have Jordan Love as your quarterback. It's probably not as good as having Aaron Rodgers coming back for another run at a title, but it is what it is, right?
Well, so, I said quarterbacks are currency in the National Football League. You should be drafting as many as you possibly can because they just they hold so much more value than every other position when they hit.
And so there's our latest.
Even if you don't have them anymore, you're going to get a lot for it.
So there's our latest edition of Mayday, Mayday, Mayday in Green Bay, the esoteric analysis of the imbroglio at Lambeau.
Well, and now we're at the point, too, where it almost just seems like a far gone conclusion that if he's not in Green Bay, that like Denver's the spot because there's so many places that have quarterbacks. The other part that we're not even really talking about anymore, just because there's such a lack of clarity with the situation. But from all I've heard, is Deshaun Watson ain't coming back to Houston now. Right. You know, maybe he has to sit out a year. I don't know, but like there's still also another potential top five quarterback on the market if someone's willing to.
Well, he still has all sorts of legal issues.
Yes, already yes, yes. That's obviously the reason why. But I'm just saying that. You know, you still have potentially two top five quarterbacks that could be moved here with not a lot of openings to be moved to.
The plot thickens is what you're saying. So there you go. That's our latest edition. Tenneby, I don't know if it was the esoteric approach to sports takes a different view of how the games should be played.
By the way, can we do May Day in Green Bay sponsored by North Star Problem Gambling today?
Oh, that's a good idea. I hadn't thought about that because we do need to have them. They'd love to sponsor something. So that was brought to you by North Star Problem Gambling Alliance. That's very good. Yeah, they brought you our latest May Day here on The Fan. Remember, if you think you have a gambling addiction or a gambling problem, you can contact the Minnesota Problem Gambling at MinnesotaProblemGambling.org. MinnesotaProblemGambling.org or call 1-800-333-HOPE. I view sports oftentimes in a different prism, particularly when it comes to strategies. Since we were talking football, and this story is about football, I'll use that as my lead, my example. I've always thought, I'd just go for a two-point conversion every time I score a touchdown, unless you've tied the game with 4 seconds on the clock and you can win it with an extra point. Trot my field goal kicker out, let him try to kick it from 37 yards. Otherwise, I just keep going for two. Because if you miss it the first time, it's 6-0. You score another touchdown and you score six. It seems like, I don't remember what the exact percentage is. I think you've looked it up before, but it's close to 50-50.
Mm-hmm.
You might score the 2 points, you might not. Generally, half the time you do, half the time you don't. So if you get it the next time, well, now you got your 14 points. So it's like your two. It's like you got your two extra points.
And the extra point now where it's at is closer to 90%.
Another one is...
except for in Minnesota, it's like 78%.
Well, hold on.
We're going to have a competition with two kickers I've never heard of. I'm sure one of them is going to take the job, and we're going to be great at that position.
Yeah, that's for sure. The other one is punting the football. I think teams, they're starting now to go for it more often now than mm-hmm. they used to. But it always, anytime, it's fourth down, we're in our own territory, we got 2 yards to go, we've got to punt the ball. Because coaches are terrified of not converting, the other team getting a short field, winning, losing several games that way, and then getting fired. Do you remember the high school football coach at Pulaski Academy, Kevin Kelly? The guy that always goes for two, who never punts?
Yeah.
He's landed a Division I football job. The high school football coach who almost never punts has landed a college head coaching job, according to multiple reports. Longtime Pulaski Academy head coach Kevin Kelly is leaving the Little Rock, Arkansas-based high school for Presbyterian College in Clinton, South Carolina. Presbyterian has a Division I football program that competes at the FCS level in the Pioneer Football League. They're giving somebody a chance. A guy that he has thrown caution to the wind. He approaches it with the esoteric approach. No sabermetrics. He does not do it the standard way that most people have through the years. He rose to prominence nationally by adopting an extremely unique strategy. He rarely punts and almost always follows a touchdown by attempting an onside kick. His approach has yielded plenty of success in the state of Arkansas. 9 state championships. He told Yahoo Sports' Dan Wetzel back in 2018, when the score is within 3 touchdowns, Kelly's team attempted an onside kick 100% of the time.
Awesome.
Kelly's approach is completely data-driven, as Wetzel wrote. Here's what he wrote. Kelly believes, and has data to back it up, that the opportunity to create a turnover via an onside kick is greater than the loss of field position from a failed kick. There's more. His teams also never, or almost never, punt because the chance to run 4 downs worth of plays is seen as more valuable than field position, especially with high school punters. Pulaski also receives kicks with unusual formations, creating space and limiting penalties and injuries. It blitzes often because sacks change the game more than allowing a first down. Kelly believes field position is completely overrated. The more important variable is turnover margin, he believes. Kelly told Wetzel, you win games by winning the turnover value, not field position.
Brilliant!
And what did Mike Grant tell me that Bud Grant always said decides football games?
Big plays and turnovers.
Big plays and turnovers. So this guy's getting an opportunity. I love it.
What's the new university?
He's the coach of, hold on.
Presbyterian.
Yeah, it's a Division I football program. It's Presbyterian College in Clinton, South Carolina. It's in the Pioneer Football.
That's our new squad.
That's our new squad. Yeah. That's the team. You know what? You can row the boat all you want. You can sky them all you want. You can go Gophers all you want. And we will too. We're not abandoning the golfers yet. Remember, I have an oar. I also have a life jacket. I'm not going to drown at sea and give myself up for the football team in town. Trust me, we're not going to go that far. But Presbyterian College, what's their nickname?
I'm looking for it right now.
Maybe they have something where we could row the boat, too. I like this. I like a guy that doesn't punt. Now, the onside kick, I don't know what the onside kick rules are in college. Is it the same as the pros? Where it's
blue hose.
I beg your pardon?
H-O-S-E. Blue hose.
The blue. You're making it up. The blue hose. Okay.
School colors are garnet and blue.
Sure.
The mascot is Scotty the Scotsman, who's a medieval Scottish warrior. The team name comes from the socks worn by the football team in the early days of the 20th century.
Ah, hose. Like pantyhose.
Let's go hose.
Let's go.
Let's go blue Let's hose. Go hose.
The blue hose. I like it. So we'll start following this team. And maybe eventually some people think that.
Hose to the rose.
Hose to the rose. Some people believe that Zim's on the hot seat.
This might be the transition we're looking for.
Maybe Kevin Kelly is the guy we're looking for. No 534. It's a FedEx Friday. Feminine touch of the program. Lil B joins us next, brought to us by our friends at Casey's General Store. They're here for good. I should be sleeping like a log, but when I get home to you, I find the things that you do will make me feel all. This is the Fan.
Off summer with the one and only season opener savings card from Wisconsin Dells. Every deal, every smile, every drop of fun, they're all here in this one card. Just go to kfan.com for your shot at scoring one today, or stop by the Ace Fratelloni's hardware location near you.
She'd be the Foxy Lady. Baby. She'd be in the house. Feminine touch of the program. You know, Jimi Hendrix is considered by many to be the greatest electric guitar player in the history of music. He's very underrated as a vocalist, too. I just think he's got it.
He definitely
is. What he died much too young at 27. That's how old you are, right? 27?
Yeah, let's go with it.
Let's go with that. It's so good to see you.
You
there,
too.
There was something else. You like freedom? It's the summer of freedom.
It is.
Casey's. They're helping guests celebrate all season long with Summer Freedom Sweepstakes. Casey's Rewards members can instantly win millions of free prizes, including food, drinks, and bonus points. And it doesn't stop there. Each qualifying purchase with Casey's Rewards is also a chance to bring country music star Lee Brice to perform a live concert in your hometown. You've worked with Lee Brice.
Yes, before. I've had him at shows before.
What's his mother like?
I don't know if she was there.
Okay.
But he was nice. So I've heard you talk about this. And here's my thing. Anybody
Bryce is nice.
Anybody that's nice to me when we have shows,
right?
You're always, it's going to be great. I'll always say rave reviews about you.
Okay.
Cross me once and you're on my list forever.
And that's it. It's over. Done.
It's over.
Yeah.
But he was very nice. I remember the show very well.
So that's pretty cool that, like, so your hometown, even if, like, Glencoe.
Right.
How cool would it be in Glencoe?
You could light up Glencoe.
You could probably even, with the success of a concert like that, you could probably build a third Casey's.
Well, he could do his first show at one, and then he could go down the street and do the next show. One.
He'd be the biggest name to perform there since Common did a comedy act in a garage.
Mouth guitar guy was also on the bill.
Sorry.
Mouth guitar and I, this is, what do you think I'm thinking as I'm sitting there in a sparsely populated Glencoe garage? And
define sparsely populated.
A couple 13, 14 people. A lot of drinking. And I've just done a comedy set. And now we're closing the show with Meat Sauce and I doing dueling banjos, dueling mouth guitars.
Mouth guitar guy, I mean?
You thought you made it.
Yeah, mouth guitar guy. And I'm thinking, this is what it's come to.
Yeah, this is it.
This is where my career's come to.
Yeah.
But it was fun. Glencoe Garage guy is a terrific guy. Then he had me. He had me say a few words at his wedding.
What?
Huh?
He got married and he said, my wife and I, well, at least he did. I don't know if his wife agreed to it. We want you to say a few words at the wedding. So I did.
Huh?
I don't remember what I said. A couple 13, 14 different things.
Wow.
Yeah.
What a rube.
And,
Did you speak at Tana's wedding?
No.
Okay.
No.
No!
And I didn't really want to be ripped that day.
And then I was forced to go to the reception. Still one of my favorite, ask JG about this one.
Yeah.
So he came to watch baby brother Peter play basketball one time back in like fifth or sixth grade when Pete was playing, traveling basketball. And Deuce was there at the game. And my two boys, they love each other dearly, but they give each other, like brothers do, they give each other a hard time all the time. And they never go watch each other's sporting events, ever, right? So mom one time, though, said, you're going to go watch your brother play. That's not right. So it happened to be when Deuce was there, it was the same time JG went to the game. So Deuce and I are sitting there in the bleachers. Here comes JG. And I go, hey, JG, this is Deuce. And he goes, hey, Deuce, how you doing? The first thing out of Deuce's mouth was, I'm forced to be here.
I always love that one.
He asked JG about it. He wanted JG to know, I'm not here on my own volition. I did not make this decision. He just goes, I was forced to be here. How good is that?
Unbelievable.
And then baby brother Peter, we went to, remember when there was indoor lacrosse? Mm-hmm. There was an indoor of the Swarm, I think it was.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
We went to, I made an appearance there. And I brought the family. And Chad Abbott was there. And he met baby brother Peter for the first time. And baby brother Peter was in first grade. She goes, Pete, how do you like first grade? And Pete goes, it's painful.
I always love that one.
Painful.
Speaking of youth sports.
Yes.
Soccer started up for Big O last night.
Oh, coach ran out into the field again.
Well, and we all remember what happened last year. Total dominance.
Right.
Where the opposing coach finally ran out in front of him and said, you've scored enough. So last night, on the way to soccer, he says, and I quote, I hope there are good players here because I want to take it to the next level.
I always love that one.
Seven. He wants to take it to the next level.
Well, you know why?
Why?
He's built different. That's what my boy, that's what Deuce and baby Peter would say.
So, and it's
built different.
It's a super good program. They have like high school soccer players coaching it. They did have to tell him after his seventh goal, like, okay, you can't score again until you've let somebody else score. And in a nice way, not like the opposing coach did. It's dominance is what it is.
So he's
back.
He's the he's the Glencoe Pele.
Yeah, basically.
Think about that. He's that good. Well, that you must be proud of that.
I am.
Yeah, it's nice to see them excel at. It's probably better if they excel in school rather than athletics. But either way, maybe they do both.
Yeah, he does.
Yeah. Is he still stealing money out of your purse?
Hasn't in a while.
Yes.
So I feel pretty good about
it. Broke that habit. Well, good for him.
Can't believe I'm going to ask this, but
is this a program poll?
Yeah. Do you think highly of yourself?
Me? I guess I do. I don't think the average listener wouldn't realize it because I don't talk much about myself when I'm on the air. Kind of just talk about some other things.
Right. That's why I had.
Yeah. I guess I sort of do. I mean, I think I'm the best of lousies. Lousies the best. I think I think I have some good qualities and I have some poor ones. But yeah, I think I'm all in all, yeah, I kind of think I'm okay. Yeah.
So new Grumple.
All right.
Thanks to my guys at BigDeck.com.
At where?
BigDeck.com.
Okay, very good.
Who thinks more highly of themselves, men or women? In parentheses, I said you can't answer, common man. I mean, if you had to guess, who would you say?
I think this is pretty easy.
You do?
Yeah.
What is it?
I think men think much higher of themselves. I think women, in general, generally speaking.
I tend to agree because like my wife.
Based off of other pressures in the world. And
my wife always feels like she's, hasn't done enough and hasn't been adequate at this or adequate at that. It's always like that. And I think that is a quality a lot of women have. They expect so much from themselves. Maybe it's because other people expect so much from them.
Yeah.
Like my boys expect dinner on the table and this and that. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
That maybe sometimes they feel like they're not. But yeah, because I think I would agree with 10. I think guys. do probably, in general speaking.
Generally speaking.
Higher.
Generally
speaking. So you can vote right now.
What do you think?
Lil B KFAN. I would think women.
Really?
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, don't you know some really kind of stuck up snotty women? Because I do.
I do, but I think it's in the minority with
really?
Women.
Well, I have the answer, but I want people to vote first before okay. I tell you guys.
All right, so we'll look at those results a little bit later. What you said you had something else?
Well, I got tons of stuff, and I did realize, so Mother's Day is coming up on Sunday. Make sure that everybody remembers. And I haven't reminded you guys to send your thinking of you text kissing emoji lately.
It's been way too long.
So I think I would stop everything right now and do that, thinking of you.
Even stop eating my lunch?
I mean, if you could tear yourself away to send your wife a thinking of you text message, I think she'd really appreciate that.
Is it just Mother's Day or is it a week-long festival?
Just Mother's Day.
Mother's Day.
Just, and, yeah.
And generally, what do you, is it anything, you know, do you get, like, do you go out to breakfast? Or what is Mother's Day usually?
We get breakfast. We get some breakfast brought in.
Okay.
But really, I just end up drinking with some gal pals later in the day.
Really?
Because really, we just want to be left alone.
Do a little drinks.
Well, yeah. We need to chill out. What did I have for you? Hang on.
I'm asking for a friend here.
Okay.
What do you do when you've reached the stage where you've been with someone long enough now where you've just run out of ideas on what to do with gifts? Because you got to do Christmas and Valentine's Day and birthday and Mother's Day. And the friend of mine has
presents.
Yeah. Yes. Push presents.
Push presents.
And the friend of mine just has, he's out of ideas. Anything creative, dunzo.
I have a friend that's in that same exact situation.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely.
Really?
Absolutely. I know somebody, so for some advice for our two friends.
Well, I've told you guys this before. I don't need the gifts all the time. I'm for Mother's Day, honestly, I just want to know that you're going to get everybody up in the morning. You're going to feed them. You're going to get them dressed, brush their teeth, wash their face. I should really split that up. I'm not making a meal. I'm not making one.
Right.
There's no breakfast. There's no lunch. There's no dinner. Figure it out.
Same here. Well, we're doing takeout because I can't rattle the pots and pans.
You can make a hot dog.
Yeah.
Boil some hot dogs.
I can boil a hot dog, but we're doing takeout.
And then, you know, I think if you had some flowers on the table when she came down the stairs in the morning because you let her sleep in.
I always do the flowers. Always.
Have the flowers there with the card that the kids made.
Well, I've told my kids.
We just want the day
I think
off.
I'm a pretty good catch because I let her sleep in all the time.
What does she do?
He's over there blowing his own horn. Here's what I'll tell you. my two boys are at the age now where they've always made cards for mom.
Yeah.
But much like making cards, like Tennessee's friend and my friend that have run out of gift ideas,
yeah.
I think the kids even run out of ideas to what to make for a card.
Yes.
So I told them at their age, at their ad, I told them both, Deuce is 18, baby brother Peter's about to be 16. I said, the two of you either sometime this week, this was right in the week, get in the damn car,
yeah,
drive to Hallmark and pick out a card. And don't just grab the first one you see. Read through them a little bit, and then maybe find some kind of a gift or even something like a coffee mug that says, because, mom drinks coffee all the time, that says, Happy Mother's Day or I love you, Mom.
Yeah.
Put a little effort into it other than like, because this is what they'll do, too. I got to remind them, go make a card right now. Oh, yeah, I forgot. And then they'll run downstairs. And so now I'm telling them those days are over.
Yeah.
It's time for you to actually put some effort into Mother's Day and her birthday, for crying out loud.
Well, and here's the other thing you can do, because it's all about the masks right now. Like any kind of masks for your face. And then like the under eye ones. I just now make up little gift bags. You just go to like Target, Ulta, these places. And they're not even expensive. Just go through and pick up a bunch of different like variety masks. Like this one's calming. This one's plumping. This one's hydrating. And you just drop them all in a bag.
And I did that for Christmas. Now I'm out of ideas.
Okay. Well, I don't know what to tell you. This thing says right here.
I'm just saying. It's repetitive. I've done all the gifts
you
now.
You don't have to get a gift. Stop. No gifts. Listen to this.
I know what my friend could do. He plays a lot of golf. Not go out and play golf on Mother's Day. Stay at home in the morning.
That's a sacrifice.
Say, you know what? Instead of going out and sticking the tee in the ground and going playing a couple.
So now it's about what you've sacrificed on Mother's Day.
Sacrifice no. playing golf. What do you think, Tim?
I could not think of a bigger sacrifice than that.
I've changed my mind on the grump poll. Men definitely think higher of themselves.
They do.
This is simple. Yeah, we told you what it says. Don't know what to get mom this year? Here's an easy one that she'll definitely appreciate. Check something off her to-do list. Let mom take a nap or get a pedicure or whatever she wants to do while you take care of that errand or chore for her.
Well, I can't. I got three kids.
Well, now how about this?
I swear to God.
Now how about this?
I'm going to end it.
On her to-do list is take a nap, so I'll take that off her hands and I'll take a nap for her. What do you think, Tenneby? I think that's a great idea. I mean, my friend. My friend will take a nap. And so then of course, that allows mom to get a couple of other things accomplished around the house that she's let sloth.
I think the key is just to let her do some drinks. And
yes.
It sounds like that's where you're at.
How about a comfy throw?
A what?
A what?
Like a throw. Like a blanket throw, you know?
Is that what they're called?
No. Yes.
Why are they called blankets?
We did that for Christmas.
Get her a throw.
We did that for Christmas.
With
slippers.
Peppermint or lavender roll-on because it's very calming.
With what? Oh, yes.
The rollers, you know, like the essential oils.
I've done that already for Christmas.
Seems like a blanket in May doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
I swear to God. Do these windows open?
Well, it's going to be warm out. She's not going to use a blanket for 6 months.
I was covered up in one last night because it is very calming to put the kids to bed, sit down on the couch, watch your stories in a nice comfy throw.
Watch your gram?
Yep.
We'll keep those all in mind.
Thanks for helping out our friends.
If anybody else has any other ideas, they can always share them with us at the Bradshaw and Bryant inbox, booth@kfm.com. Tenneby, you've got a keyword for us?
Yeah, I do. Chance at $1,000 grand in your hand with our national cash contest. Just go to kfm.com. Type in the keyword summer. KFN.com, keyword summer for your shot at $1,000. Hey girl, is he everything you wanted in me? You know I gave you the world. You had me in the palm of your hand.
Bring the action. When you have this in the club, you're gonna chip turn it up. You're gonna chip turn it up. You're gonna chip turn it up. When we up in the club, all eyes on us. All eyes on us.
Couple 13-14 pass, common man program, feminine touch of the program. It's Common Tenneby and Lil B. Program password where Mark Rosen joins us at 1:30. We have a very special guest.
We do?
Yep.
Who is it?
I think we should keep his secret, don't you, Tenneby, until he walks in that door?
Sure. Well, it's a male. You just mentioned that.
Yeah, it's a male.
Yeah.
Okay.
Has not participated in Program Password before.
Okay.
Let's just say they're now approaching us about playing Program Password us having to approach them.
Correct.
Really? It's a great game.
Have you heard of a phrase called gray divorce? Gray, as in the color.
No.
It's at the forefront again because Bill and Melinda Gates, after 27 years of marriage, are calling it quits, mm-hmm. correct? The phenomenon, which refers to divorce among people 50 and older, doubled between 1990 and 2010, with the rate rising from 0.5% to 1% per year, and has plateaued at a new high. And a generation ago, less than 10% of divorces involved a spouse over age 50. Nowadays, though, more than 1 in 4 people getting divorced in the U.S. are over 50 years, and it's not just because the population's getting older. A primary reason why divorce is, and by the way, divorce has fallen for younger.
Mm-hmm.
It says a primary reason why divorce has fallen among people under 39 is that fewer of them get married in the first place, and those who do marry tend to be more advantaged in ways that are protective against divorce. For instance, as marriage has increasingly shifted from a ritual inaugurating adulthood to a capstone experience carried out only after young people complete their education and gain financial independence, the risk of divorce has declined among this age group. In contrast, older adults face higher risk of divorce than ever before in history, and reaching one's silver or 25th wedding anniversary is not necessarily a marker of marital permanence. And if you're wondering why it says, midlife is marked by major life transitions. Children grow up and move out of the house, leaving couples with an empty nest. Careers wind down as individuals transition to retirement. Without the daily grind of juggling children's schedules and long hours spent at work, spouses can find they have little in common. This researcher said that gray divorce is often not precipitated by a singular event, but is instead the result of drifting apart. So in other words, you know, when, you know, new jobs are hassling, kids got the flu, you're doing this, doing that, everything like that. Then the kids are gone. It's like, hey, honey. And it's like, we don't have a lot. You like to golf every day.
No!
you know, I'm using it as an example.
Yeah, yeah.
My wife and I will stay married forever. How could she part away from me? What a catch. But you see what I'm saying? So it's now completely changing where people, once they get to a certain age, go, you know what? It's time for a, it's time for something different.
Well, in regards to Bill and Melinda Gates, I would divorce my husband too if he went on a trip every year with his ex-girlfriend.
Oh, did he?
Every year since they've been married.
Oh.
Are they just friends or what?
Sure. I'm sure they are. Quote, I bet they're just friends and nothing else ever goes on. Well, you know where I found that out?
No.
People.com.
And you recommend to all salespeople here at the radio station, they should look at that twice a day.
I recommend a morning and afternoon click. Mm-hmm. So it was the gal he dated before he met her at Microsoft.
Okay.
They broke up. He met Melinda. She turned him down right away. So they eventually ended up going out. He made a pros and cons list before proposing to her and told her that, which, sexy. And then it was talked about right up front that he is going to be allowed to go on an annual vacation with his ex. They're friends. They go on ski trips and hiking trips, and they talk about, you know, programming and computer software and engineering and business stuff. Bye.
Well,
maybe they're just friends.
Yeah, maybe they're just friends. Maybe.
Okay. You guys are funny on Fridays.
Well, maybe it's just, is it the word called plutonic?
You would never go on an annual vacation with an ex-girlfriend right now. You would never do that.
I'd love to. Oh, I mean, no, you're right.
They'd love
I usually
to.
Am. No. You would never do that. Stop.
Do you see one?
Okay.
There is no switch. There is no switch.
So, again, I'm sure there is such a thing as gray divorce.
Is it just the two of them, or are they like...
No, it's just the two of
like
them.
Like a group of...
No, just the two of them.
And are they business partners in any way, shape, or form?
I'm sure they're partners of some kind.
Do you have an old flame that you still talk to or not?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Whoa.
Oh, yeah. So that, do you ever go out and see each other?
Do I ever, no. Do I go on vacations? No. Do we rent a cabin and go on hikes over the weekend and talk about business? No.
All right. Well, maybe they just have a relationship that.
I don't know why you're standing up for him.
Well, it's because maybe, is it possible that you can't have a friendship with an old flame and just it's you know, strictly platonic?
I think you can. I don't think that you should be going on annual vacations with them. That is inappropriate and it's disrespectful. Stop. You're just trying to get me going.
Well, she
you know that I'm right, and neither of you would do it.
But here's what I'm saying. If he was doing it for years, she obviously signed off on it.
Right.
Yeah, so it didn't just pop up like 10 years after they got married.
And what did she say? I believe the quote on people.com is like in their paperwork. It said that their marriage was irretrievably broken. I think it was irretrievably. Is that a word? Yes. Maybe by like that 25th or 30th annual vacation.
Well, do we know she that said was the reason why, though?
I think it's on the list. Maybe she made a pros and cons list about divorcing him. In what I'm reading about, and I've read a little bit about this because it's very weird to me. It doesn't seem like they had this great love. Nothing about it was
well. That's unfortunate.
Sweet and romantic. Everything seemed very business.
Well, I think
which might be the kind of people they are.
I think to be that successful in business, you almost
right.
I mean that's like your business's first love, and everything else is on the side.
They're just
right. I mean, it's just
sad, really.
But there was no like I knew it from the second I saw her at the office, or her telling sweet stories about. I mean, there was none of that. It was very just non-romantic. This is what it is. Very like on a spreadsheet, you know?
I have a mistress. Golf.
You're unbelievable.
That's my mistress. We go out often.
You take a daily
every
vacation.
Morning.
I always
yeah.
love
every
that.
Morning.
That's,
every
yeah,
morning.
Sneak off.
I sneak off and
think
I
about
golf.
That.
27 today.
Okay.
Not just 18.
Time and a half, huh?
Time and a half. And then some days I play 36. That's called two time.
Okay.
We'll take a break. We'll come back. It's time for the ever popular program password. But right now, Tana B is going to treat us to. Wild today, brought to you by Carbone's.
Yeah, the Wild play the first of back-to-back games against the Anaheim Ducks tonight at the X. Kevin Fiala skated this morning after missing Wednesday's game against Vegas with a lower body injury. He will be a game-time decision tonight, according to head coach Dean Evason. Also looks like Kaapo Kähkönen will get the start in net for the Wild. He's won three in a row. Wild are 7-1-1 in their past nine against the Ducks. John Gibson will start in the net for Anaheim. Wild versus Ducks tonight at 7 o'clock right here on The Fan. Wild today was brought to you by Carbone's Pizza. Best cheese, best sauce, and the best crust. Order today or tonight at Carbone's.com.
The Fan.
Music from Ed Sheeran brings us back to the Common Man program. I'm the Common Man, Dan Cole. He's Tana B. Mark Rosen joins us now. Lil B, of course, fame in touch of the program. And looky here, the maestro of the mornings.
Oh, my goodness.
Hi, guys.
Corey
Hi,
Cole.
Hi, Corey.
Joins us for...
Lil B is so disappointed. You guys overhyped the special guest
yeah.
factor.
I don't think so.
I thought it was going to be Lever.
Yeah, she was.
Yeah. Like I said, you're disappointed.
Okay. Yeah. All right. But it's the maestro of the mornings is Corey Cole. He's the inventor and creator of... the Initials game. How many episodes?
What's that?
What is it?
It's the Initials game. It's this board game that I turned... Well, it's a radio game that I turned into a board game.
Right. And I can buy this game?
Yes, at initialsgame.com. I'm so really? Glad that came up.
Oh, right, Rosie, thanks. Write that down.
Initialsgame.com.
And from what I understand, you got the idea from a Kansas City radio station.
Right? I did, yes. I stole it from Henry Lake's former sports station
yeah, that's
in Kansas
it.
City.
That's what I thought. And it's gone on to... how many episodes have there been now?
357. And I heard you guys reference that the other day. And yes, we intentionally started keeping track to make it sound like a UFC fight.
Yeah, it's great.
But otherwise, it's just a rant. Like, you guys should start doing that with this. Say,
well,
this is program password 22 or something.
Well, we talked about it, and we said we're just going to have the same number every week.
That's good.
Number 27.
This
number
is 27. Okay.
So this will be number 27.
Right on.
And next
lucky
week will be 27.
When you started Initials, did you have it from the get-go that I'm going to keep track of,
no.
of all of this?
No. Nope.
Who's winning and who's...
No, we didn't keep track of stats or wins or anything until months in.
So you don't have stats from game one?
No, we do. We went retro and went back and
okay.
got it.
Okay, I was wondering.
But we didn't intentionally start thinking it was going to be that big of a deal.
Who is the Michael Jordan of Initials game, the greatest
it's
of all
AJ.
Time? It is AJ?
Yep. Used to be Sauce, now it's AJ.
What happened to Sauce? Is it
like... he had a rough patch there a couple of years ago. bottomed out.
And both yeah, on and off the mic.
Yeah, I just kind of lost focus. But now he's back on track, and he's happy, and he wins once
yeah.
in a
yeah,
while. So.
Okay, very good. And AJ's just...
he's just consistently good. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Have the Initials ever been AJ, and it's been AJ
That's
Mansoor?
The very first one.
No, seriously?
That's the start of the game, yeah.
We started the game because, remember, he was quitting because he was having his first kid, wanted to take another job that paid a little better than this one, so he quit. So I made the AJ game to say goodbye to AJ.
No kidding.
And then we realized this game's kind of fun. We don't care that you're quitting. We're going to keep playing it.
Right.
But by the time we played the second one, he had already quit the other job and come back to iHeart.
So then did you use him a second time?
We've used AJ a couple times. Okay. I think we used it for game 300 as well.
Yeah. Sweet.
I think.
So how about that?
Well, because that was game 300 is also when we launched the Initials board game.
That's right.
So I think it was full circle from AJ game one to AJ game 300.
And you know what? The one thing I've learned from the Initials game, you know, going from the radio to the board game, is those Kickstarter campaigns really don't work. I mean, there's just not...
No, it was a rough year.
Yeah, it was just rough. They don't really work like that. Like, yeah. They're all pandemic. Cracked up to be making you a bunch of money, and they really just...
No.
Hard to get to
out.
That.
Waste of time.
Yeah, hard to get to that goal.
Yeah. Took us all of 10 minutes, I think, to hit the goal.
That's total grind.
Beautiful.
We'd like to do it with Pass, where the problem is it's already copyrighted and trademarked. It's been done for years.
You just got to wait for it to enter public domain.
Ah,
50,
there you go.
Is it 50 years? 100? I forget how long it is. Then it's just a free-for-all.
Yeah,
can we do initial game, or do you have that?
I thought you tried that.
But I'm saying in terms of making a board game, or do you have that?
Well, copyrighted. I believe it's up for grabs.
Let's do initial.
Well, with initial, there's only a few ways you can go. You can do the one name singers, you know, Madonna and Adele, and then you go with Aristotle and Socrates, and then after that, you're kind of done.
Then you're done.
There's not that many one namers out there.
There are a lot of words, though. You could just do words. It doesn't have to be people.
Yeah. You know what? You should work for Milton Bradley.
Yeah.
And they pay pretty well, from what I understand. Well, so.
Buy my game from me.
You know how this works, right? You've played.
I love Password. Yeah. I'm just nervous because I don't know who I'm getting paired with, and I would assume my clues would be very different for all three of you.
Oh, absolutely.
So I don't know how this is going to work. We'll see.
But you know how the game works.
I do know how the game works.
Because what was the controversy? Because you Kickstarter, right? Weren't we arguing if that was one word or two? What was the deal?
Yeah. And so there's a lot of gray area here because the real old school password, you're not allowed to use proper names. You guys do that all the time. Yes. So Kickstarter, the website, is absolutely one word. So I still don't know why that clue didn't count.
Yeah. Ask Tenet.
Yeah. Ask Tenet.
Because the dictionary says it's two words. That's what I go off of.
And I think I won. So we'll go with that.
All right. Very good.
Can you guys tell me who won last week while I was gone, just so if I can change the record?
I lost again, whoever I was with.
Me and Garzy won.
Yeah. Me and Common lost.
Yeah.
Gerdzy and Jay, Rosen won.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I got back in the W column.
Congrats. Win number two, Rosie. Mark. Yeah. Great job.
The Twins have won more recently than I have.
Wow.
It's really
is Sauce still winless at this, or has he got a W?
Yeah, he's 0-3. Yeah.
Okay.
Which is probably why he stopped wanting to show up.
Yeah.
All right, you guys ready?
Yeah.
Ready to go.
Password.
This is from the Flintstones.
Give the password.
Great.
Give the password.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to play
Bro Password!
Here's your host, the very talented and very attractive, Tenna B!
Usually Lobie laughs.
Yeah, she's bored
funny.
Of it.
I was reading something.
Lobie, tell us who brings us program password today?
That would be Casey's General Store. It's Pizza Friday, everybody. I will be utilizing it tonight.
All right. Our record's common. You're 6-3. Lil B, you're now 4-5. Rosen at 2-5. Corey Cove making his debut.
In game 27?
Game 27.
Game
27. Okay.
Super excited.
Corey, the way it works, when it's your turn to not hear the clue, I'll tell you to turn down your headphones or turn down the volume. I'll turn off your mic. When you see your mic turned back on, that means you can put your headphones back up.
Got it.
All right, our teams today... Mark Rosen and Lil B versus Common and Corey Cove.
Okay, Rosie.
We'll do it.
Okay, Rosie.
I got a good vibe with you.
Very good.
We'll begin with Rosie and Corey. Turn down your headphones, please. So you guys are mics 2-4, right? Hold on.
The password is dealer.
Okay. I always allow ladies to go first. Lil B, would you like to go first or second here?
I will go first.
All right, Common?
Oh, no. Wait, no.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I'm going.
I'm sorry. You're right.
Clue,
you're
reset. Right. Who's sorry. My partner? Rosie.
Yeah, you and Rosie.
Hi, Rosie.
Hi.
Okay, ready?
I'm ready, I think.
Poker.
Cards.
All right, Common and Corey for 9.
Pass. It's not a terrible clue, but I have to say something.
Check. Lil B and Rosen
that
for
was
8.
Good. That's what I should have.
Shuffle.
Dealer?
Yeah. So I should have said
Rosie!
You sure you didn't hear the word? I'm just kidding.
No, I turned the speaker off when I came in today.
I can't hear anything. I can't even hear the sound of my own voice. That's a good clue.
I let you down.
That's a good clue.
Start off.
Couple of
terrible clue.
We got plenty of time.
Yeah. All right.
I figured once Lil B said poker, you're going to be able to follow up with Corey. Rose and Lil B, you guys got 8 there. Lil B and Common, turn down your headphones, please.
The password is warning.
Okay.
All right. Corey, since you guys are trailing, you can choose to go first or second here.
I'm going to go second.
All right. Rosie?
Beware.
Dog.
Common and Co. for 9.
Tornado
warning.
Boom.
That was pretty good.
You're good at this game.
That was good.
9-8, Common and Cove. You guys have a 1-point lead. Rosie and Corey, turn down your headphones, please. The password is goose. Lil B, you guys are trailing. Would you like to go first or second here?
Second.
All right, Common and Corey for 10.
So I'm giving the clue.
Yep.
Duck.
Cover. Lil B and Rosie for 9.
Gray.
Goose.
Good one.
Oh, man. I just.
Yeah, you're right. Yes.
Think of alcohol.
Me too. The time.
Fucking great.
I love that all of Rosen's answers are questions.
I know. Goose? I'm surprised myself. I am very nervous.
Rosen and Lil B, you guys are up 17-9. Lil B and Common, turn down your headphones, please. The password is festival. All right. Corey, you guys are trailing. Would you like to go first or second here?
Second.
All right. Lil B and Rosie for 10 points.
Come on, Rosie.
Celebration.
Party.
Cove and Common for 9.
Carnival.
Mardi Gras.
Rosen and Lil B for 8.
Man. October. I'll just have to say it.
You gotta say it now.
October. Parade.
And I can use proper names, right? I should have thought about that earlier. Lollapalooza.
Festival?
Yeah.
Should have used that for the second one. Good one.
Oh. It's a good game going here. We're playing up to 60?
Playing up to 80.
80? Oh, yeah. We go.
Holy. How?
Well, all these games just end so early. So.
Yeah, well.
Do they?
Do they? In your mind, they do.
Rose and Lil B, you guys are up by 1, 17-16. Rosie and Cove, turn down your headphones, please. The password is cousin. All right, Common, you guys are trailing. Would you like to go first or second?
First.
Yep.
Kirk.
Cousins.
You have one chance to change
cousin.
It.
Cousin. What a gimme.
Good one.
Yeah.
Hands him on a platter.
Yeah, pretty much, Rosie.
Well,
it's all right.
Should have been behind at that point. You would have been able to get the
Yeah, why didn't you know that?
Under center. Oh, that would two words.
All right, 26-17, Common and Cove with the lead. Lil B and Common, turn down your headphones, please. The password is stairs. Mm-hmm. Rosen, you guys are trailing. Would you like to go first or second here?
I think we'll go second.
All right, Common and Co. for 10.
Glare.
Sun.
Lil B and Rosie for 9.
Climb.
Stairs.
Oh, my God!
Whoa! That was very good. How'd you get that?
No idea.
That was good.
Two different meanings going on.
Because glare really threw me off.
Wow.
I wasn't going to guess anything.
Was that intentionally trying to throw them off?
No, it was like if you glare at somebody, a lot of times you stare at somebody.
The other version of stare,
yeah.
Got it.
Wow.
Woo! Rosie.
Oh, my heart.
We got tie ball game 26-26.
Oh, God.
Rosie and Common turned down, or excuse me, Rosen and Cove turned down your headphones, please. The password is mulch. All right, where are we at? Let's go with Common and Cove. Would you like to go first or second?
I'll go second.
All right, Rose and Lil B for 10 points.
Wood.
Chips.
Common and Co. for 9.
Grass.
Mulch.
Oh, my God.
Brilliant. Ooh. Brilliant.
This game's on fire.
Brilliant.
35-26, Cove and Common in the lead. Lil B and Common, turn down your headphones, please. The password is sponsor. Since Rosen and Lil B are trailing, Rosie, you want to go first or second here?
I will go second.
All right, Common and Cove for 10 points.
Advertiser.
Client.
Lil B and Rosen for 9.
Michelob.
Sponsor.
B, you're good at this.
Yes.
Woo. Everyone's good at this. You guys don't even get into the 6-5 point range.
Yeah, Rosie.
Yeah, Rosie.
Is he taking a nap? Yeah.
All right, 35-35. We are tied. We'll do one more before we get to halftime.
Okay.
Rosie and Rosen and Cove, turn down your headphones, please. The password is pyramid. Cove and Common, would you like to go first or second?
I'll go second.
Okay. Lil B and Rosen for 10 points.
Egyptian.
Pharaoh.
Cove and Common for 9.
Structure.
Pyramid.
Oh.
Rosie, come on.
I'm sorry. It worked out exactly how I knew that would be the clue.
I knew.
Because that was the one I would have
given. Break. Good game, though.
Now I just want some Michelob, since Rosie said it. Beer storm at 3, Rosie.
Brought to you by Michelob and Michelob Golden Light.
I can't believe Sponsor went by without any of you guys organically publicizing any of your sponsors and clients.
Well, I'm not going to sit here and mention Initials Game.
Well, I know.
I'm not going to talk about the Common Man book.
Oh, you wrote a book. How'd that go?
Yes, I did.
Oh, congrats.
Went pretty well. Thank you very much.
Rosie, didn't you write a book, too?
I wrote a book, yeah.
Lil B, have you ever done anything with your life?
Yep, I keep all of you employed.
Fair.
Okay.
Every last one of you.
We'll take a break. We'll come back with more Program Password right here on The Fan.
The Fan.
Programming on The Fan today is brought to you by Cars for Kids.
Very competitive, controversial edition of Program Password. This is number 27.
Yes.
We've done this 27 times now. Again, people asking about a Kickstarter campaign. No, the password was done by Alan Ludden.
I believe he was
the first ever host of it. I tend to be the second.
Married Betty White, right?
Yes, that's exactly.
I know Alan.
Really?
Barb knows this. I was single for 8 years in my 20s. She had to listen to a lot of my complaints. I watched a lot of Game Show Network in my 20s.
I watched a lot
of Alan Ludden.
Great host.
Ooh, sexy.
Is there one game show you prefer over all the others if you were to watch one?
I mean, probably Wheel. I'm a sucker for Wheel.
I like to tell the truth. Now, I know they do a new one now, somebody told me.
Yeah, with Anthony Anderson.
Yeah, okay. And I like that because
Thanks, TV Guide.
Oh, yeah, I love game shows.
Do they do the same thing when they finally announce, the real so-and-so please have? They all start
the tease?
Yeah. Just love it.
So
just
rich.
The fake stand-up thing,
I'm going to just tell a quick story. This is the truth. My dad's sister's husband, one of my uncles, he was on To Tell the Truth. You can look this up. His last name is Gillis. What he did, this is back in the 60s, he decided he wanted to take his kids, 6 of them, across the country in a covered wagon. They went from one side of the country to the other in a covered wagon, just stopping, meeting people. Then they put it on an ocean liner, took it over to the Soviet Union, and went to Moscow.
Oh, wow.
And
And it's I've got the Life. I've got the Life magazine articles.
Tell me about this.
He was on to tell the truth because it was one of those ones where you had heard of the guy, but you would have no idea what he looks like. It was the same thing. So I have a relative
that was a contestant.
And so tell me about what was that covered wagon like and what they had. They just had real tires on it. They didn't have wooden wheels, but they had horses dragging along.
He was kind of
a cowboy guy.
Did they,
I don't remember if they.
I wonder if they got it right.
I don't remember, but he was really good.
It seems
like that would take a long time.
They brought a school for like 2 years.
Man,
it's hard to go against the classics, though, right? The ones that have stood the test of time, like Jeopardy, Wheel, Price is Right. They're all just awesome.
The initials game.
Just 357 episodes. No big deal.
But I know a lot of people listening, you know, to the initials game in the morning enjoy it and would probably like to play with their family. Is there a way they can do that?
Off the top of my head, I mean... Yeah, initialsgame.com. You can just buy it.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah. You made it into a game. Oh, I didn't know.
I did,
that.
Yeah. The Kickstarter thing you referenced.
Rosie, buy me a game.
I'll get you one right now.
Dot com.
Online.
Okay, well, that's cool. All right. So, here, where are we
Corey, by the way, I was a big fan of Classic Concentration as a kid. You never see that anywhere.
With Alex Trebek, by the way. He hosted multiple game shows, and Concentration was one of them.
Show.
It was good.
Well, Hollywood Squares is pretty good, too, because I think most of the time they had
Paul Lind in the middle.
13, 14 to drink sometimes. It was good.
Yeah, solid.
All right.
Let's continue. Tanneby, what are
you guys ready? Yes. Who brings us program password today, Lil B?
Casey's General Store.
Cove and Common currently in the lead with 44. Rosen and Lil B at 35. We are playing to 80. You guys have basically been rolling because five of the answers have been done with 9 points. One has been done with 10. One's 8. One's 7. So we haven't even gotten to the 6 point level on any of these. Lil B and Common, turn down your headphones, please. Password is robot. All right, since Rosen and Lil B are trailing by 9, Rosen, you can choose whether you want to go first or second here.
Second.
All right, Common and Cove for 10 points.
Good call, Rosie.
Yeah. maybe. I was worried with you.
Terminator.
Schwarzenegger.
Lobby and Rosie for 9.
Mechanical.
Machine.
Common and Cove for 8.
Machine.
Robot.
Got it.
Dang.
Oh! Whew, we're so close to be on the right path.
I was trying to think of...
Famous robots?
Will Smith. Could do anything with one word. That was the problem. Yeah.
This is our first double-digit lead of the day here. Okay. Cove and Common at 52. Rose and Lil B at 35. Mark and Corey, turn down your headphones, please. The password is barn. Lil B, you guys are trailing by 17. Would you like to go first or second?
Second.
All right. Cove and Common for 10 points.
Silo.
Grain.
Lil B and Rosen for 9.
Shed.
Barn.
Good one.
And here come the Glenco jokes.
That was very good, Common. I should have added that.
I was waiting for a Williams Arena reference of some sort.
Maybe we got there.
Oh. Yeah.
I didn't even go there.
No.
Cove and Common, 52. Rosen and Lil B, 44. Lil B and Common, turn down your headphones. The password is seaweed.
A laugh. Right. I wonder what that means.
Rosen and Lil B, you guys are still trailing. So, Mark, do you want to go first or second?
Second.
Cove and Common for 10 points.
What's the right word?
Kelp. Seaweed.
Kelp!
I know. I think that was going to nail it in the second
that
one.
That was a great clue.
Wow, that was a great clue.
It was a great clue.
That was one of those when I put together, I thought that would go to like 5 or 6.
Yeah, for sure.
Did not think of kelp.
Wow.
Well done.
Impressive.
Cove and Common, you're 18 away from victory. It's 62 to 40.
Glencoe B doesn't know what kelp is.
Whatever, I'm not apologizing for it.
That's all right. Not a lot of kelp in Glencoe.
not a lot of water in
No. There's a lot of silos in barns.
Funny that you got the barn one, right?
Barn parties.
And a lot of Casey's, too. Two of them.
Yeah, hell yeah.
Two Casey's.
Pizza Friday.
Yep.
62 to 44. Let's go Rosie and Cove. Turn down your headphones, please. The password is macaroni. All right. Let's go with Rosie and Lil B. You guys are trailing. Lil B, you want to go first or second?
Second.
All right, Cove and Common for 10 points.
See, either clue I give, she's going to give the next one, and they're going to get it. That's what's sad about this thing.
Unless you sabotage it.
Well, yeah, I could.
Okay, don't give him any ideas.
Just
stay out of this.
For 10 points.
Elbow.
Joint.
We'll be in Rosen for 9.
Noodle.
Elbow, noodle. Pasta.
I got it.
Go Common ahead. And pasta. Rosen for 8.
Pasta.
Or Common and Cove.
Macaroni. Yes.
Rosie, I swear to God.
What did I do?
Not get the right answer.
You've never heard of elbow macaroni? Yeah. That's what I said. That's why I knew you'd go with it. I said, well, this is just giving it to him, but he got to get something.
Sorry.
Cove and Common, you are 10 points away from victory. It's 70 to 44. Lil B and Common, turn down your headphones. The password is hamstring.
Another laugh.
Rosen, would you like to go first or second here?
We got to win, Rosie.
If you let them go first, they could win it on their first game.
I know. I'm aware of that. Thanks.
Don't take your 2-5 record out on me, Rosen.
Yeah. That's a lot.
Would you like to go first or second?
I better go first.
All right. Rosen and Lil B for 10 points.
Confidence is high.
Muscle.
Mass.
Common and Cove, 4-9.
Quadriceps.
Abs.
Low B and Rosen for 8.
Pull.
Biceps.
Common and Co for 7.
Thigh.
Hamstring.
That was a tough one, Rosie. I won't even blame you for that one.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
That's 3 unanswered for Cove and Common. They are now up to 77.
Oh, boy. So they got to work that out.
3 points
out.
Here. They win. Rose and Libby, you guys are all the way back at 44. But
God,
you get to go
right
first
there.
On all of these. So
okay, great.
You can easily make a comeback. Rosen and Cove, turn down your headphones. The password is oval. Lil B, would you like to go first or second?
I guess I better go first.
Man.
For 10 points.
Round.
Circle. Circular.
Cove and Common for 9 in the win.
Talladega.
Racetrack.
Lil B and Rosen for 8.
Long.
Oval.
Oh my gosh.
That's a big...
Rosie, thank God, because I didn't have any left.
How'd you pull that off, Rosie?
Rosie!
That
was good.
Oval track.
Circle. Talladega. Circle. Oval track.
I took a run at that one. All
right. Rosie.
You're alive.
Still alive at 77 to 52. Lil B and Common, turn down your headphones. The password is globe. All right, we're still Lil B and Rosen. Rosie, you want to go first or second here?
I better go first.
All right, for 10 points.
Encyclopedia. That's the wrong word. Terrible clue.
Book?
Common and Cove for 9. He didn't give you anything to work on.
I know. I did that on purpose.
Earth.
Almanac.
Rosen and Lil B for 8.
Round.
Globe.
I was going to say globe, and I went almanac instead.
I thought about just going reverse sabotage because he gave us nothing. I tried to just...
I thought about just mailing it in and trying to pass
I was going
to
say Globe. I thought it was Globe or Almanac, and I thought Almanac was the book thing, which was...
Honestly, didn't have much else to go with.
So, in other words, you stupidly stumbled into...
Yes. I have no problems admitting
that. Oh, man.
What do we got tonight?
You guys are still alive. It's 77 to 60.
Rosie.
Rosen and Cove, you need to turn down your headsets here. The password is Swan. Well, B, you want to go first or second?
Second.
Cove and Common for 10 points.
Goose.
Feathers.
Will be in Rosen for 9.
Black.
Swan. Good clue.
Daddy's enjoying this.
That was key to go second.
Yep. Well, Daddy did enjoy that.
Yeah, whole town knows, Rosie.
Can I tell you about the time I took my daughter to see Black
Swan? It's inappropriate.
I've heard about it.
Yep.
Daddy's enjoying this.
Yeah, he was.
We got a game here.
Lil B's enjoying this.
We got a game. Three in a row for Rose and Lil B, so it's now 77 to 69.
You could have said Kunis. I would have got that right, too.
What?
Mila?
Mila Kunis.
Okay.
Okay, never mind. Okay.
Just leave the clues to me, Rosie. Yeah.
Lil B and Common, turn down your headphones, please. The password. Ooh, hold on. I got it. Hold on. Where are we at? Lil B and Common. No, not yet.
He was just turning it
down. I screwed up. The password is cardboard. I screwed up because I hadn't turned off your mics originally.
All right.
Still at Lil B and Rosen.
What's the score?
What is it?
77 to 69. Would you like to go first or second?
Second.
All right, Cove and Common for the win. 10 points.
Box.
Package.
Lil B and Rosie for 9.
Cut out. I think that's one word.
Standee.
Cove and Common for 8 in the win.
Material.
Comedy.
Lil B and Rosen for 7.
Material.
Cardboard.
Oh my God, how could I not get that?
Hello. There we go, Rosie.
Oh, my goodness.
The genius of that is you guys got the points, but you're still 1 point under those two, so you can still choose whether to go first.
This is a lot of work.
This is common.
This would be epic. We can't blow this.
It'd be the biggest collapse in program password history.
Okay. All right.
No one in the first 26 games has ever lost this many points.
It was once 77 to 44. It's now 77 to 76.
Oh, my.
So basically, whoever gets this one.
Yeah.
Is going to win. Rosie and Cove, turn down your headphones, please. The password is Nashville. Lil B, would you like to go first or second?
First.
Oh wow.
Wow.
For 10 points in the win.
Tennessee. Rosie.
Titans.
Oh. Cove and Common for 9.
City.
Nashville.
Yes!
Had to sweat it out.
We will not be speaking.
I thought we were going to lose.
Country music. I didn't know it was going
to... I thought we were going to lose. I really did.
So did I.
That was tough. Let's keep playing. That was fun.
Yeah,
I don't have anything left.
I almost ran out of clues.
No, I don't either.
Well played, you guys.
Yeah, it was fun.
Well done.
It
was great. You're 1-0.
1-0.
Love to have you back again.
Yeah. Cool. For game what?
Yeah. 27.
Oh, game 27. Yeah. Great. That'd be great.
It's coming soon. Thank you. Corey Cove, maestro of the mornings. Lil B, the feminine touch, brought to you by Casey General Store. Thank you, my dear.
Thanks, guys.
Happy Mother's Day weekend, by the way.
Thank you.
Mark Rosen and Common continue with the Dark Star Memorial Hour next. Hey, Common here for Pentair Water Solutions. When it comes to evaluating an athlete's performance, sabermetrics and analytics are kind of the thing now. Same when it comes to evaluating the water in your home. They do tests. A test score of 7, that's the sabermetric, it is considered hard water. Check out these sabermetrics. Woodbury, 19.4. Plymouth, 24.2. Chaska, 30.3. Maple Grove, 31.7. These are considered extremely hard water levels. How hard is your water? What's in your water? Chlorine, iron, or bacteria? You can discover what is in your water with a free digital Pentair water test. Accurate, trustworthy digital results that you can trust. And with their mobile showroom, they bring it right to your house. The Pentair Water Pros can show you a wide range of options for improving your water's quality right in front of your very eyes. And you'll get water that tastes better, feels better. I know I have a Pentair water filtration system in my home, and we absolutely love it. Call for your free Pentair digital water test today. 612-509-6878. 612-509-6878 or online at Pentair.com/MSP. Pentair.com.
On the Fan.
And now...
And now
there's valet parking.
Pull up in front of. Here's how it works in the real world, just so everybody knows. Pull up, you give the guy $20, you tell him, take good care of it, it's the only one I've got. When you come out, there'll be two guys holding the doors open for you and whoever you may be with. Slip the kid $5 and off you go. A lot of people say, it's $25 and you didn't get anything for it. It's $25 and I didn't have to do anything.
Yeah.
Wait a minute. Give me a pen that works, will you? Just... Okay, give me that again. I don't know if we should talk about this any longer because I don't know how long Abbott can hold his breath. Seems more honest than the
tears. I am curious. Two nuns and a goat get off a train in Cleveland.
You
wanna
hurry up. You probably don't like mimes either, right? You need to raise your standards a little bit, son. Ain't
this song about? No, no, no. You're not getting off this easy. I don't care.
Dark Star. Incredible. Dark Star Memorial Hour. Here is our only one today. It's from Matt from St. Louis Park. It says, hey, Common, sorry to share that my father-in-law passed away recently. Tom Sonny Sundahl finally lost his battle with vascular dementia and 13 or 14 other cruel maladies. Tom was an Air Force veteran who raised his family in Brooklyn Center, worked around town in the hospitality industry, where he first tripped the light Fandango with his friend Dark Star at the Carlton Celebrity Room. Eventually, Tom and his wife, Leanie, retired north of that Anoka County line, and their troubles were behind them. Family, fishing, and friendship occupied his days. He'll be missed by many loving friends and family. Ask Dark to look out for good time, Tom. He'll be right. Good time. So good. He'll be rolling into the valet line in a big silver caddy. I'm pretty sure those two will have a hell of a time playing the ponies at the big racetrack in the sky. Keep up the good, keep up the great, and keep up the entertaining KFAN Game Show Network. Matt from St. Louis Park. We do appreciate that, Matt. Our sympathies for your loss. Someone sent it to me. Always wrong, guys, as a matter of fact. And then Tennessee is going to put it on the program page. It's the link to the Password episode from like the mid-1960s.
Amazing.
In which my uncle, Leon Gillis, he was married to my dad's sister, Ione Gillis. And the two of them, and I think six kids all together, my cousins, he said, we're going to go on a covered wagon. We're going to go across the country. And then they liked it so much, they put it on a boat and went across the Soviet Union and stopped in Moscow. And this is during the Cold War years.
And right? They were allowed, obviously,
to pass the Soviet Union. And the people loved them. And they went right to the Kremlin. Red Square.
Oh my God.
Yeah, isn't that cool?
I just saw the video you showed me during the commercial break. He was a tall drink of water.
Yeah.
And, so, and that's, I mean, that couldn't have been the most comfortable thing either. He looked like he was, I don't know how tall the other guys were. Looked like 6'3", 6'4". He looked like a tall guy.
Yeah.
Unbelievable story.
Yeah, it is kind of cool. Then someone said, they said, have you ever told the story about your brother being on the Roseanne Barr show? Tom Arnold, you know, kind of started his comedy career here in the Twin Cities. And he was pretty loyal to a lot of his guys. Mm-hmm. And my brother and a Wild Bill Bauer were on an episode of the show in which at the very end, it's my brother, Wild Bill, and Goodman. What's his first name?
John.
John Goodman.
Yeah.
Who played Dan. Was that the name of the character?
I believe so.
They're in a jail cell because Dan somehow is in jail. Uh-huh. And then my brother plays guitar and the three of them play guitar and sing. And that's the end of the show, the closing scene of the show. Oh. So, yeah, it's kind of cool to be on TV. So
absolutely.
Old Tom Arnold threw him a bone. So it was kind of cool. What's wrong with your club?
Throwing someone a bone.
Yeah.
It
happened again yesterday, and it was, again, just those weird, odd ways. We go to the bullpen, it can't hold a lead. We lose the game. We get to extra innings. And, you know, it's funny. The previous extra inning loss where they went to 0-6, I think I told Tennessee this, or maybe, I don't even know when that game was, so maybe it was Doc Donaldson. Maybe it was you, I don't remember. But I went into that thinking, well, they've got to eventually win one, so you know what? This is the one they're going to win. They went 0-6. Yesterday I went in and said, well, no, they're not going to win. I've decided, there's no rhyme or reason. There's no odds. There's no, well, it has to happen that way. I think they might be doomed to lose every extra inning game they go into. It's astonishing.
The lack of the clutch gene in this baseball team right now with runners in scoring position is astonishing. The Twins, what the stats say in the paper, they've scored one run in ninth innings this year. 21 innings, 74 plate appearances, 6 hits, 3 for 23 in extra innings with 2 runs, an 0-7 record.
Yep.
I mean, you literally get home or away. It doesn't matter. You get to start the inning with a runner on second, and
we can't find a way to advance them.
No.
In all honesty, I know this doesn't guarantee a win, but have they ever thought, like, have a guy lay down a bunt, get him to third, and then just
try that once too.
Then just hit the ball to the outfield fairly deep, and you're going to score a run without a problem. It seems, I know it's not foolproof. I get that. Is it because in a lot of, nobody teaches bunting anymore?
They don't really. I mean,
they don't use it.
All the years of down in spring training, I mean, you have Rod Carew down there at spring training, who is arguably one of the greatest bunters in the history of baseball, working with a lot of young players. And it really should start in the minor league system. I mean, you're down in lower A or whatever it might be down in Fort Myers, all the way through what's going on in St. Paul with the Saints now. I mean, this is where it looks like it's a lost art. Just laying down, not just bunting for a base hit, which Carew did time and time again, but bunting, just literally laying down a sacrifice bunt. And a lot of guys don't even attempt it. Even, you know, I understand if the, you know, Nelson Cruz's of the world aren't going to lay down a bunt. You don't want him necessarily bunting, although the element of surprise would be there. But it's the fact that you just don't see it very often. And especially with the new rules, just get him over to third. Then, like you say, just need a fly ball, unless Miguel Sano's up. Then you're in trouble.
Well, and speaking of just bunting, no one does, very rarely. How many times a year do you think in Major League Baseball does a player lay down a bunt just to try to get to first base?
Base hit. Yeah, I don't know.
It's just a lost art, and maybe part of it's because it's not exciting enough for fans. See, you and I are too old school, I guess, being old guys.
Yeah.
I think laying down a bunt and getting a base hit, fooling the third baseman, is just as good as knocking one into the second deck.
The reason they've gone away from it, it's all analytics driven. The sabermetrics and analytics show that long term that bunts
don't help.
Yes.
Really?
You're right.
That's why they've all stopped.
But getting back
and now they all want hitters that can just hit the ball out of the park, right?
Yeah.
You don't have your classic, like, 300 hitters that hit 7 home runs anymore. Like, those don't exist. They all want guys who have launch angles and exit velocities.
Yeah, but when Byron Buxton's at the plate and he's leading off an inning, and your third baseman should be creeping up to the point where he's expecting him to bunt. Because if Buxton lays down a bunt, there's nothing they can do about it when he's healthy, and he's not, again, he's probably going on the injured list, but he lays down a bunt, he puts it anywhere near where he wants to be, he's going to beat it out. He nearly beats out any routine ground ball to the shortstop.
Except for when he comes up lame to first base.
Well, I just literally just said that, unfortunately. Yeah, I know he's got a hip flexor or something. And, we talk about this time and time again. And he just named the player of the month in the American League. And we watched him yesterday almost, make another little circus catches in center field of robbing one of the hitters from Texas of a home run and, missed it. But I don't think he got hurt there. But it's just always something that lays them up for, a week, 10 days, 2 weeks, whatever it might be, and different body parts all the time, a wrist, his back, his leg, now it's his hip, his wrist. You look at an exceptional athlete like that with all the tools, all the skills, he just cannot stay in the game. And you think about, I'm not comparing anyone, but you think about what it took. The extreme example of someone who played every inning was Cal Ripken Jr., and he never missed an inning. And it's just, you kind of shake your head. You go, what is it about his physical makeup that he just can't stay healthy?
The manager said did you just say this? Because I was looking. By the way, somebody just sent me the YouTube video of my brother at the end of the show with the Goodman character.
Yeah, John
Roseanne.
Goodman.
I'll forward that to you, Tim. You can put it on the program page. He's the one playing the guitar in the prison stripes. The the manager said he doesn't think the injury occurred when he hit the wall. Well, when else did it?
It could be any. I mean,
see, you know what I think? Again, am I just so cynical and so, what's the word I'm looking for? Conspiratorial that I think because the discussion of Buxton playing what I call recklessly and carelessly in the outfield has been a topic of conversation, mm-hmm. and they've worked on that with them, that they don't want anybody to think, see, he's back at it again. That was a mistake. And that, oh, we don't think it was that. I don't know how else it would. I guess it could have happened just by legging it out, but I my guess is it when he hit the
ball. I noticed his last at bat, he hit a routine ground ball, and he didn't run with the same authority he normally does. And I thought, well, maybe he was almost instructed, like, don't go full bore if you really are going to get thrown out. I mean, it's nice, unless the shortstop bobbles the ball, he's still going to throw you out. But he didn't run like Byron Buxton normally does. And I thought, man, I don't know if there's something, he's signaling something. Maybe he was already hurt at that point, because the next at bat, he hit another ground ball like that, and he pulled up like a horse around the, you know, around the turn heading for home. He pulled up lame, and that was it. And I thought, you know, now he's out.
And do we have an update on that? Have you,
Well, I think they're going to bring up, you know, I don't know if it's Rooker. I don't know who's left on, you know, in St. Paul, but, you know, Arise
right.
is still
but do,
out.
What I mean is, do
no,
we know?
I haven't seen specifically. No.
Tanneby, have you seen any tweets problem. From any of the beat writers regarding Buxton, anything today?
I have not.
Recent? Okay.
Hip flexor or something, I think is what I've seen. So, yeah. It's very, all of it's discouraging because they put themselves in a gigantic hole. And you know, granted, they're playing another Oswald team tonight, the team with the worst record in baseball, the Detroit Tigers.
For now.
Not for
can
now.
Can we catch them if we get swept?
Yeah, I think so. The Twins have only won 10. Detroit's 9-11. Detroit's 9-23. So
see?
Yeah.
They sweep us, we'll go to the worst record major.
And the Twins got Matt Shoemaker going tonight. You know, they come back with, you know, what? Again, they got the three-game series. They got Barrios and Maeda pitching now before they go to Chicago. So that means Barrios and Maeda, their two best pitchers on paper, are not going to face the White Sox. So they better sweep this series. I mean, that's just to give you a chance to get back into the conversation. But right now, they're going to have to really kind of fix it because, I mean, we talked about it the other day. I mean, Miguel Sano had to get back in the lineup. Is it possible he's getting worse?
Yeah, he's.
I mean, it's just.
He's striking out three times a game. And
it's just. He barely can hit the ball to the infielders right now.
I mean, yesterday when they were down to two outs in the ninth and he comes up to the plate, I mean, even though it sounded like it was a great catch, I didn't see it. I heard that, you know, the Gable, is that his name, the guy that...
at the end of the game,
at the end of the game, they made the catch?
He made a really good catch.
Okay, so, but still not a well-hit ball by Sano.
No.
I mean, it almost dropped in, but I mean, Sano, I think, did he get one hit
Gallo.
Yesterday?
Gallo. No, he was 0-for-5.
Yeah. And how many times did he strike out?
Three,
yeah.
Well, again, he hit the ball at the end of that, and they were playing especially deep because they wanted to cut the runoff at home or prevent a double. And Gallo rushed in and made a really nice catch to end the game. You know, otherwise that ball falls, and for once the Twins have have scored a run in an extra inning, and the game's tied at that point. But it didn't happen. And again, it wasn't because Sano hit the ball on the nose. He hit a little blooper, and the right fielder made a wonderful catch. So
we'll take a break. We'll come back. Okay. One last segment to go. A couple of other things I want to bounce off. Rosie, Common Man Program, Dark Star Memorial Hour with Common Tenenby and the legendary Mark Rosen. One more segment after this, right here on what we affectionately call FM 100.3. We call ourselves the Fan.
Love me do. You know.
And .com.
Kick off summer with the one and only season opener savings card from Wisconsin Dells. Every deal, every smile, every drop of fun, they're all here in this one card. Go to kfan.com for your shot at scoring one today or stop by the Ace Fratelloni's hardware location near you.
It's a couple 13-14 passed on the Common Man Program. Okay, so the Twins, terrible team, terrible city, terrible fans.
Yeah, we got that.
What's up with the Wild and the Wolves now? Tend to be the Wild play tonight, correct?
They got four more games. They got the Ducks tonight and tomorrow night before the Blues next week.
That's it then. Yeah, four more games.
And they're 1 point back at Colorado in the standings.
With one
and,
game.
Pretty well clear from Vegas, so it's going to be hard to get to first.
Colorado's got a game in hand, I believe.
Yes.
If we get to second, what does that mean?
We'd have home ice advantage over Colorado.
Over Colorado.
Which is important.
And then if we don't?
Depends if Colorado can catch Vegas or not.
Ah, okay.
In all likelihood, they're going to play the Avs in the first round.
Yeah. That's
just the way it's looking right now. I mean,
and again, we've... what's our record? Is it fairly even, Steven, or are we?
We're 1 point back at Colorado.
No,
but I mean just head to head. How have we done?
I think they're like 5-3, something like that.
Okay, all right.
Pick your poison. Yeah, you got to play good teams, and that's just it.
Indeed, you do.
And we're gonna have what I think they're allowing now, at least for the first round, 4,500 fans up from 3,000, and if the Wild are fortunate enough to win the first series, then it'll definitely expand by that by the end of May.
Tenneby, I'm glad you're back because you follow the Wild. You are the most trusted voice when it comes to Minnesota Wild hockey.
Huh?
No, you are. What was the deal with the brouhaha? Did they take a run at Dollar Bill Kirill to try to intimidate him, or was that an accident, or what was that all?
Yeah.
And then there was a brawl afterwards. Can you explain to me exactly the significance of what happened, and were they trying to send a message to him, or...
I don't know. You know, sometimes those are just split-second decisions. I don't know if they're trying to send a message. Clearly, Vegas was annoyed that the Wild have been kind of beating them up pretty good recently, and the team you might be playing in the playoffs. So it's possibly trying to send a message. Just possible one guy makes a split-second decision and isn't really thinking it through because it's a fast game. But Kaprizov kind of pulled up before he went in the zone. He dumped the puck in. He turned around. Defenseman for Vegas, Hegg, back-checked him into the boards. And I have never seen Minnesota Wild teammates swarm faster to defend a teammate than they did for Kirill Kaprizov at that moment in the history of the organization.
I agree. You know, he's their meal ticket. He knows it. And Foligno in particular took charge of that situation in a hurry. And that's where, I mean, you can argue, you talk about, you know, the absurdity of what happened the other night between the Rangers and Washington after Wilson was the one who was, they had the, you know, looked like the old slap shot, dropped the gloves at the opening faceoff, six straight, you know, five different fights going on the ice. This was one of those where you're going, okay, I get it from the hockey code. You go, you're not going to pick on the guy who's our meal ticket. You don't do that. That's against, you know, that's kind of against the code. So Foligno made sure that they got that message. So that's where I think, you know, people may be opposed to fighting, but you understand there's a method to his madness at that point, and he wasn't going to put up with it. And that's what Foligno did. He took charge of that situation.
And then I saw quotes in the Gamer, in the Fishrod Factory West Side, and it didn't sound like, at least from the quotes I saw, or maybe I missed something, that the Wild players were like, yeah, that was a cheap shot. We're going to make that pay. They were all saying, hey, this was a good, hard, physical game. It was great. We can't wait to play him again. It was almost... It didn't sound, or maybe I missed a quote, but it didn't sound like they were really saying, well, that's a cheap shot, we'll get you, or did I miss a quote? Because I didn't seem to see
it. I mean, I think what happened was enough. Foligno ended up fighting Hegg later on in the game, so I think after that, like, it's done. We've had our retribution. The best part about it, I know I have, like, a massive crush on Kirill Kaprizov, but as all the players are swarming Hegg, and basically, you know, five guys aside all going at it, a defenseman for Vegas comes up to Kaprizov because they kind of meet, and he kind of pushed Kaprizov and knocked him down. Kaprizov got right back up and basically did a wrestling move on the guy.
He sure did.
He grabbed his leg. He threw him to the ground. He, like, pinned the guy, was kind of face-washing him and, like, had control. I just, you know, people were concerned about his size coming into the NHL, but he's strong for his size. We've seen it when he's in, you know those 50-50 battles along the wall. He doesn't get pushed off the puck ever. And, like, just the fact that he could take on a guy that was 4 or 5 inches taller than him and take him down and pin him down on the ice, I thought was...
That's cool
to have out of a star player.
It was like David versus Goliath.
Yeah.
As long as you don't take your glove off, then you don't get called for fighting.
Yeah, and I don't want him to put himself in a position to get hurt, but...
Yeah, he did. It was a good wrestling move, and he's a strong kid. Yeah.
He's extremely strong.
Yeah.
Cowboy Bill Watts-like?
I would call it more...
Body Ventura? Larry the Axe Henning?
I'd go with either Nick Bockwinkel or Billy Robinson, like more scientific.
There you go.
Or could have been a Greg Gagne kind of move, too.
And Your Wolves Club, you like Ant a lot, don't you?
Love him.
Tenneby, he thinks Ant is now the face of the franchise and it's not Big Meow anymore.
He is.
Oh, my gosh.
No, I'm not saying, you know, average. I mean, it's the big three you have to have, and we're seeing the end result now of having, again, this has nothing to do with them playing at a high defensive aspect of their game, but having D'Angelo Russell, Ant, and Karl-Anthony Towns in the lineup together has made a quantum leap in the way they play the game.
And wait till Beasley comes back. Well, he's been hurt.
Yeah, exactly. Beasley's been out. I don't know if he's even come back for the rest of the season, but they play your guy tonight. Don't they play Jimmy Buckets tonight?
Yeah, I don't know. And then he got Naz. Naz, he's been playing well.
The nice role player.
The Fish Wrap Factory, he's even more than a role player, I think. I'm not saying he's a starter, but I mean, he's starting to assert himself, and he's a good physical presence. He can score a little bit, and he can rebound, and he doesn't back down. They need a guy like that on this club. The Fish Wrap Factory West Side did a piece, and I didn't read it. I just saw the headline. I saved it. I haven't gotten to it yet. Maybe I will eventually. But it was about which players on this team will be back and which ones won't. And, you know, if you take the deep, we know the ones that will, obviously, but the deep dive on the bench players, the role players you're talking about, there seem to be a couple of helpful pieces, that you would want to say, this player has earned a spot on this roster. He provides some of the things we need, but they're going to have to add more pieces, obviously. I mean, I know it's been pretty good the past few weeks. You know, by the competitive nature of the club, but they still have to get stronger defensively and give a defensive effort for more than just the quote was again about defense, and I think it was Finch was the one that said, "Well, yeah," he said, "that's what the good teams do. The good teams play defense for extended periods in game. They don't just play every once in a while."
When you think of the two higher draft picks they've had, Okogie and Culver. Culver's out for the year now, and was ineffective when he was playing. And Okogie's been around. He was known as a really good defensive player. It's not to say you're going to give up on him, but Vanderbilt playing a lot better, McLaughlin playing a lot better, McDaniels. I mean, they have other players who've been actually playing better than Okogie and Culver, and those are the two guys you're really kind of counting on to make contributions to this team as they move forward. Again, the hope is they're going to try to attract a free agent that wants to come here. We don't know how the lottery, the ping pong balls are going to go. Again, the Wolves are better off. Like, that's what I kind of appreciate about the game the other night. They lost. They put on a hell of a show against Morant and Memphis, and Ant had 42, whatever he had, but they lost the game. And you want to give yourself the best possible chance. You finish with one of the worst three records in the league, and you got a fairly decent chance of getting one of the top three picks, and that's where you got to go. I'll take anybody that's available. But
how many games do they have left?
I'm really not sure.
There's a 72 this year. What's the record? Do you have it in front of you?
I got to look it up. I don't know. I'll have to find it someplace.
It's not many more. We've got to be down to, 10 games at the most?
20 and 40. It's so dark in here. 20 and 46.
So what's that? That's 66? Yeah, so it's
doing meat sauce games. Math, I think that's
six games left then, right?
Because
they're playing 72 this year, right? Not 82.
Coming down the stretch, yes.
Okay.
So... they probably won't win tonight. That's okay. Play a good game. Play against Miami. And go.
You're getting ripped again.
For what?
Homer Rosen says, Ant, Cat, and Russell are the worst defensive rated players at their positions, not ever going anywhere.
Well, I'm just saying the nucleus of this team, he wasn't listening. I said defensively, they haven't exactly shined, but Ant's 19 years old. And again, the two guys that are supposed to, Josh Okogie, it's supposed to be the guy that goes in there and playing against your best offensive player and be more of a shutdown kind of guy.
Well, these guys better start playing defense because they spend a lot of minutes on the
floor. Anthony Towns, that's up to him.
Why don't you tell him that?
Jimmy Butler tried, right? Didn't Jimmy Butler try to tell him?
Well, he did.
Yeah, and what happened to Jimmy Buckets?
He got ripped for it, except by me. I defend him.
They ran Tibbs out of town. They ran Buckets out of town.
Just ran him out of town.
They ran him out of town.
Tomorrow, season debut.
Four.
Tita Green.
Oh, okay.
Starts tomorrow at 10 o'clock. I'm going to tell you right now.
What do you think?
It's going to be controversial right out of the gate. How can Tita Green not be? Have you ever listened before?
I have listened.
This is the topic I'm going to talk about
right
out of the gate tomorrow.
Okay.
The difference between the performance, this is going back now until the 1800s, between the gutta percha ball and the feathery.
No kidding.
You tend to be. Think about that.
Oh my gosh.
If you don't want controversy, there will be people that will be squeamish that won't want to listen to that. And I understand, but I'm not going to back away.
Man, what time is this on tomorrow?
10 a.m. Live from
where you gonna be?
Second Swing in Minnetonka.
Okay.
I already blocked it off in my calendar. I said, babe, you got to watch the kids 10 to noon because I have to listen to this show.
Even with that controversial topic?
Yeah.
You like the controversy.
Yes.
So that's what we're going to talk about.
Who's we? Who's your guest?
Well, Paul Peterson.
Paul Peterson. Oh, I just wanted
to mention. He's not guest. No, he's co-host.
Ping guy.
Yeah, Ping guy's been the co-host for a number of years now. Matter of fact, he does all the work. That's why I like having him. He's very good at what he does.
I know he does
books all the
work.
He books all the guests. Every one of
them. Ken, are you surprised about this?
Cobb has actually booked his own guest or two on this show before, recently.
Yeah. Occasionally. But he books every guest, and he gets heavy hitters. He gets like Jaime Diaz from Golf, what is it? Golf Network? Why? Golf Channel. He gets them from Golf Channel. He gets heavy hitters from all the major publications.
Garzy told me that Jack Nicklaus Kidd wrote a book and it's called Best Seat in the House. I'm not making it up.
No, he did. He wrote a book because he caddied for his father on a number of occasions, including the last time he won the Green Jacket at 46 years of age in 1986.
Right, 86.
But everybody's had the best seat in the house except for me and Tenneby.
You've been in the catbird seat for a long time.
I've been in the catbird seat, but I haven't been in the best seat in the house. What are you going to do with the rest of your life when you finally? I mean, are you guys going to go out and be a fisherman? Do you like to fish?
I like to fish, but it's not a vocation. I find myself fascinated by fishing shows.
Can you go back to tennis?
I'd love to play tennis.
Do you think with the hip replacement?
Not my head.
Oh, that's right.
I think I could play some doubles, but I don't know if I'd ever go back to playing singles again. Horseback riding?
Would that be something?
I know you're going to say, take three weeks off and quit. But
golf, huh?
I enjoy playing with friends. I really do. I played golf. I mean, I played in, how many zillions of charity tournaments, which I enjoyed, but I'd rather play with my buddies.
And
obviously I got a lot of personal stuff going on right now, and I can't really do much of anything. So I can't get back into it, but I'm really kind of, every time I drive past the golf course, I think I'm
going to become a brain surgeon.
Are you really?
Yeah, something I want to tinker with, just not on the weekends.
Mess around with it?
Yeah, just on the weekends, though. Yeah. I don't want to do it as a full-time job. I just want to, every once in a while, I get a hankering to just tinker on somebody's brain for, a couple of hours and fix them up, and then so that's what I might do.
Start with meat sauce.
Well, he could use the belt.
What am I talking about him for?
I don't know, because you're fascinated.
We've gone the whole show without mentioning him.
I know.
Lucky.
It's true.
Oh, man.
Well, we're done. Wow.
Yeah. So that's why I wanted to promote the golf show.
You should. Starts tomorrow.
That's tomorrow. It's brought to you by Ping and Second Swing. Play your best.
Nice. And, what time will that be?
That'll be at 10 a.m.
Where's the name of the place again?
It's called Second Swing. I'm going to come by and see us. We're going to have a nice giveaway, too. And then the following week, I'm up at Deacon's Lodge.
Oh, I love Deacon's Lodge.
And then from Deacon's Lodge, after that, it will be... where do I go after that?
You got the life.
Baker National then. Then we're going to be at Cragen's. We're going to be at Camp Richard Grandview. A lot of broadcast. So we'll see you on Monday at 2 o'clock.
Yeah, happy Mom's Day to everybody. Yeah. Take care of your mommies.
Very good. Yep. You're absolutely right. Yep. Tenneby, thanks for having me.
Hey, great job.
You as well. Happy Mother's Day to all mothers out there. Gentlemen, make sure you tell your mother you love her. We're back on Monday at 12 noon. Big Ticket JGR next on The Fan.
Listen back to any of Common Man's programs by podcasting on the iHeartRadio app or KFAN.com.